This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. Members of the Special Commission looking into the 9/11 terrorist attacks say U.S. officials simply weren't prepared for what happened that day. They say communication breakdowns and misinformation were common. Commission co-chair Thomas Kane says there were even problems on board Air Force One.
The president described to us his frustration at the communication problems within Air Force One. So he had to get in touch with Vice President Cheney. They set up then the air threat conference call. The president gave the, at Vice President Cheney's suggestion, I believe, gave the order for the shoot down.
That order was not carried out. The panel's final report is due next month. Former President Bill Clinton says he had an affair with White House intern Monica Lewinsky because he could. Promoting his new book, Mr. Clinton tells 60 Minutes he considers it a moral failure. The former president says his greatest accomplishment while in office was his economic program. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
Don't miss the JCPenney lowest prices of the season sale just in time for Father's Day with our lowest prices throughout the store. Saturday, shop early for fantastic doorbusters 9 a.m. till 1. Like a colorful selection of St. John's Bay polos for Dad, only $9.99. Plus, great buy one, get one for just a dollar specials all day. Don't forget Dad on Sunday and hurry in to the JCPenney lowest prices of the season sale. It all starts Saturday at 9 a.m.
It's all inside.
JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends June 24th.
Centuries ago, from the darkest ages, came a legend of a great king, Arthur, and his loyal circle of knights. But did the greatest king who ever lived, ever live? Journey over the Highlands and enter the deepest region of England to discover the life behind the legend. Quest for King Arthur, as only the History Channel can bring you. This Sunday night at 9, 8 Central. Slay the myth.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon, cloudy, 55 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Englewood police are investigating the death of a woman whose body was found on the railroad tracks last night. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Couple of new freeway problems right now. One is an accident westbound I-70 at Sheridan Boulevard, and one is a disabled motorist westbound on 6th Avenue between Federal and Sheridan Boulevard. Our big freeway problem right now centers around the I-25, I-225 interchange. Four-car accident northbound at Yale has traffic jammed back to the I-225 interchange. And then at that very same intersection, southbound I-225, as you make the turn to northbound I-25, there's a two-car minor accident, and traffic there is jammed all the way back to Parker Road, and speeds are no better than the T's, according to the CDOT maps. Also watch for an accident at 11th and Lincoln. Hyatt with the information. Make your weekends longer this summer at Hyatt. You get 20% off your regular room rate any day, Thursday through Sunday, at participating Hyatts through September 6th. Book on Hyatt.com today. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Police are looking for clues regarding a woman whose body was found last night on railroad tracks near South Raritan Street and East Yale Avenue in Englewood. Detective Perry Shellpfeffer said the body cited by a railroad contractor appears to be the victim of a homicide. Determination of the woman's identity now up to the Arapaho County Coroner.
He will do his best to take fingerprints and hopefully we'll get a match somewhere down the line on those. People have been calling in and asking if it may have been a relative or a family member. So we're following those leads as well. The cause of death is unknown at this time.
Shellpfeffer says it appears as though the body was dragged to the tracks. This report brought to you by Xantrex 3. A woman who's been an interim associate vice president at Metro State College of Denver resigned quickly yesterday after it was learned she didn't have the degree she claimed. Joanna Duena says was being paid $72,000 a year and had been in the job since March. The man accused of offering to kill the woman who claims L.A. Lakers star Kobe Bryant that Kobe Bryant raped her is scheduled to be sentenced in Los Angeles today. Prosecutors say Patrick Graber was arrested following a sting operation in which he agreed to take care of Kobe's problem for $1 million. Graber now faces up to 3 years in prison. In sports, the Colorado Rockies will try to make it 3 in a row today as they play the Boston Red Sox this afternoon at Coors Field. The Rocks beat the Bo Sox 7-6 last night. The most powerful diet pill in America, Xantrex 3. More weight loss, faster weight loss, energy to burn. Xantrex 3, yes, at stores nationwide or log on to Xantrex3.com. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 12:04.
AM 1150 KNRC and Desi Cortez live. Oh, yeah. Sunday mornings at 10, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Bob. Oh, Bob.
Huh? What? Who are...
It's time we talk about our relationship, Bob.
Huh? Our relationship? Now?
It's over, Bob.
Over? But you're my computer.
That's why it's over. We just don't have the right connection. It's been fun, but you know, our relationship has been feeling, well, limited. Wouldn't you rather get out of the house and meet other singles?
Well, yeah, but how?
The answer is one phone call away. Cottonwood Connection. They help singles connect. Real people, fun-filled events. Frankly, Bob, you could use a little sunshine.
But you know me, I'm shy.
At Cottonwood Connection, they encourage courage. Your full year membership includes events and a video profile on their website, so we'll still get to see each other.
Well,
come on, Bob. Isn't it time to get out of the house and really connect? Call Cottonwood Connection, 303-424-2300. Check out their website at www.cottonwoodconnection.com. It's all about the right connection, Bob.
Cottonwood Connection, helping singles connect. Call 303-424-2300 or sign up online at cottonwoodconnection.com.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Isolated thunderstorms, some with heavy rain, will move in off the foothills, keeping us at risk for severe weather through the afternoon. 58 for the high. Showers this evening with a low of 46. Showers and 58 again tomorrow. Some thunderstorms, a little more sunshine, though, on Saturday with a high of 63. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy and 55. KNRC News Time is 12:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:06, 6 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours, not exactly until 3, kind of, sort of, until 3. Let me explain that. I will be with you for the first hour of the show, and then Joe Anderson and I leap into the car and make our way to Aspen, and holding down the fort will be our wonderful and delightful Bill Thorpe, and he will be with you until 3 o'clock. So it's a kind of a split thing, a little bit like what we did yesterday, because I had jury duty yesterday and Bill did the first hour, and today I'm doing my first hour and Bill will do the remainder of the program. And the reason we're doing it that way is that we're going to be broadcasting live from Aspen. And the reason we're there, it's the Food and Wine Classic in Aspen. It starts officially Friday. There's a press event tonight. And we're going to be live tomorrow. And why are we doing this? Because it's something I'm interested in. First of all, there's going to be a tremendous amount of media there. About 131 various different media outlets, I believe, if I have that correct. I know that Bill Husted is on assignment up there. And I know Penny Parker was there last year, and there's just going to be a slew of media because it's a big deal in the food world, and it's a big deal generally. I think it'll be fun for a lot of reasons. We are, in Denver, we are very interested in food and wine. I am. Maybe the more so because I don't cook very well. The only thing I know how to make for dinner are reservations. So it's fun, and I don't know about you, but I love watching the Food Network. It's a kind of food porn for those of us who are wish we were better cooks. And here's who we have booked so far. We have Jacques Pepin. If you have been a fan of watching him on television with Julia Child and without Julia Child, he also has a show with his daughter Claudine. He's great. He's written a ton of books. Most of them have been bestsellers. He is very popular on television. He is charming and delightful and short. And we're going to be talking to him tomorrow. We're also going to be talking with Michael Bauer, an old friend of mine. Michael is the food editor of the San Francisco Chronicle. And he has just won the James Beard Award, which is a very prestigious award. And he's going to be doing a seminar on restaurant criticism. You know, lots of times you don't know whether to go to a movie, you don't know whether to go to a certain restaurant unless you read what the critics say about it. And so I'm very interested to hear what Michael has to say about it. Eric Repair, I anglicized it yesterday, but it's Eric Repair. He is an award-winning chef from New York's Le Bernardin, or actually more appropriate, Le Bernardin restaurant and winner of the 2003 James Beard Award. He's going to be with us, and maybe he can tell us how to pronounce all these things. And we're going to be talking with a wine presenter, We're going to be talking with Nancy Silverton. She is the owner of La Brea Bakery. You can get La Brea breads here. I was so surprised to see it. It's sort of an, what they call, sort of made by artisans kind of a bread. You can buy it, of all places, I have seen it at Target, right there at Alameda and Colorado Boulevard. They have it there. And what's so astonishing about the La Brea breads are the following. They did a blind tasting of sourdough breads in San Francisco, and San Francisco is very snooty and sniffish about sourdough breads. And guess which came in number one? It was the La Brea bread came in number one. And it's a Los Angeles bread. So they redid the tasting. Nobody could believe that a Los Angeles sourdough bread would rank number one. And so they redid it, and it ranked number one all over again. It was a blind tasting. So if you see La Brea breads, pick one up. They're not expensive, and they're awfully good. We're going to have some winemakers on. We're going to have all kinds of people on, probably some press people. It should be really fascinating. And we're going to call in to Jim Conder's show on Saturday as well. So I think his show is on from noon to 2. So we'll be bringing you highlights of the 22nd annual Food and Wine Classic in Aspen on Saturday as well as on Friday. And there's a lot of, you know, snob-o-matic stuff going on. It costs about $1,000 a person to attend. The press is wild about it, so there's going to be a lot of gossip and juicy stuff, and I'll report anything that I find to you, as I always try to do. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the world of food. And food is interesting for a lot of sociological reasons. There are people, food anthropologists, who go look in your refrigerator and tell you all about yourself just by seeing what's in your refrigerator and what's not in your refrigerator. They can do a whole dissertation on who you really are. And we are a society more and more. We're doing takeout. We're going to restaurants. That's all fine. But we don't eat together as families. And we don't eat together so much as friends, although more and more I think people are beginning to go back to that. And I hope that that's the case. So we'll be bringing you all kinds of juicy things in coming from Aspen, Food and Wine. And so that's why I believe we'll be doing 2 hours of the show today, so we can get up there in time to start getting organized and set up and start collecting all the good juicy stuff that we're sure must exist. And if not, you know, we'll have to concoct it one way or another. I'm looking at the Denver Post, and I see a headline story in the sort of the C section, or the B section, I guess. Here is a Metropolitan State College, a vice president who lied about having a degree. She lied that she put down on her resume that she had a master's degree. Her name is Joanna Duenas, 41 years old. She was getting $72,000 a year for this interim position, saying that she had a master's degree in something and from CU Denver. And then when an enterprising student checked on her resume, CU Denver had no record that this administrator had a master's degree. In fact, it looked like she was a few credits short of a bachelor's degree. So this is intriguing to me for a number of reasons. As a society, I think we're cutting a lot of moral corners. And the places where you wouldn't expect the moral corners to be cut, like the university, the ivory tower of academe, that's where they're cutting a lot of corners. I mean, look at the CU scandal. Look at the Elizabeth Hoffman. She broke down in tears in front of an editorial board when they asked her about the C word, the CU, one half of that C word. And she said it had been a term of endearment, and I guess the pressure is getting to her, and she broke down, and then she came back, composed herself, and returned to the interview. Here you have an administrator at a university, and she puts down her credentials, and nobody checks. Now, it's one thing to put down that you have credentials, you know, if you're doing an advertising job, I guess, as long as you do the job, who cares? But this is an academic institution, and the administrator said that she had these academic credentials, and what's astonishing is that Metro apparently never checked. It was some student, some enterprising student who came up with it. So not only does this administrator not have a master's degree, it's very likely, or at least she didn't get the undergraduate degree. She was only a few credits short from UCD. Maybe she got it from someplace else, but UCD has no record of it. And so she abruptly resigned, 41 years old, making $72,000 a year. And I don't know what they do to her now. Will they haul her off to the pokey? Does she have to give back some of the money? If you lie about something, I don't know what the penalty is. But more and more people are doing whatever it takes to get the job, to keep the job. And an academic, these are institutions. that we have tried to hold to a higher standard. We've always thought of them as adhering to a higher standard. Medicine, college, universities. And what do we find out? Some of them are lower than snake poop in a wheel rut. That's what we're finding out. 303-382-1150. What's the appropriate punishment? This woman flunks. She flunks ethics, this woman, for sure. What is the appropriate punishment for her? Also, you have a situation here where the 9/11 Commission, we talked about this yesterday, the 9/11 Commission has said there's no connection between Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, and Iraq. There's none. What does Dickey say today? He says, yes, there is. The 9/11 Commission says, no, there isn't. Dickey says, yes, there is. President Bush insisted today that the, quote, numerous contacts between the ousted government of Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda terrorist network showed that the former Iraqi leader was a threat to the U.S., despite a report by 9/11 Commission that found, quote, no collaborative relationship between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. Now, Dickey is saying there were numerous contacts. There might be contacts, but there was no collaboration, said the 9/11 Commission. So the commission says, no, there weren't. Dickey says, yes, there were. No, there weren't. Yes, there were. 303-382-1150. It seems like nobody can tell the truth, whether they're at Metro College or whether they're running the White House. Who's telling the truth? And here's what the New York Times has to say in its lead editorial and its headline, The Plain Truth. It's hard to imagine how the commission investigating 2001 terrorist attacks could have put it more clearly yesterday. There was never any evidence. Again, let me repeat, there was never any evidence of a link between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, between Saddam Hussein and 9/11. Now, here's the bombshell from the New York Times. Now, the New York Times is writing, President Bush should apologize to the American people who were led to believe something different. Of all the ways Mr. Bush persuaded Americans to back the invasion of Iraq last year, the most plainly dishonest was his effort to link his war of choice with the battle against terrorists worldwide. While it's possible that Bush and his top advisors really believed that there were criminal, bio, and nuclear weapons in Iraq, they should have known all along that there was no link between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. No serious intelligence analyst believed that the connection existed. Richard Clark, the former anti-terrorism chief, wrote in his book that Bush had been told just that. What do you do with Dickey in a case like this? What do you do? 303-382-1150. He's saying, yes, there was a link, and he lied. And here's what the New York Times is saying. The New York Times is saying that Bush should apologize to the American public. Bush should apologize to the American people who were led to believe something different. They would say anything it took in order to build support for the war. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. And then you have got a situation where we are supposed to report what prisoners we have in order for the FBI, or for the Red Cross to be able to make revisits and see that they're not being tortured. Rumsfeld has withheld certain detainees' names from the Red Cross. They are ghost detainees. He maintains that they're high-level people. But all the things that we said we stood for, that we stood for honor, that we stood for telling the truth, democracy, nobility of all sorts, has all fallen by the boards and revealed us for what we are, I think, in our lowest octave, this business in Iraq, torture. They have definitions now of torture. We are now among those low-rent nations that will torture people. 303-382-1150. Todd in Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, we fought that war for weapons of mass destruction. I watched Colin Powell stop the UN to show us that. So don't bring up Al-Qaeda. There was weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, so where are the weapons? Where are they?
Al-Qaeda. You know, I don't know.
Well, we're still looking for those weapons of mass destruction.
That's the whole thing is, and I watched on Meet the Press, they brought up, you stopped the UN. That's an unfortunate event. Guys, you know, we're just out of control now with our own power, you know?
It's a sad story, but all right, how is it then? There's been one piece of bad news after another for the Bush administration. And how is it that the numbers are still so even for both sides? How is it that there hasn't been more erosion for Dickey?
To be really honest, it's guys like Doug Kellett, Rush Limbaugh. They just get up and they invent things just right off the hook. And honestly,
well, you know what? Not only is Rush Limbaugh going through his third divorce, but he's also, as far as I can see, divorced from reality.
Well, Jesus wanted him to get divorced the third time.
Why? Are there a number of future ex Mrs. Rush Limbaughs in the picture? We'll see.
You know, actually, you brought up kind of a cute one. I he's divorcing her. Yeah, well, I quit. You can't fire me. But gosh darn it. I mean, isn't he really the picture of what's wrong with what's wrong with the Republican Party? And they still stand behind.
Here's what's so scary. He just excretes Republican talking points, and so do most of the other, I don't know how many talk hosts there are in America, but most of them read from his page, and whether they believe it or they don't.
Well, you brought that up about the college. Why don't the colleges go after, in like Media Matters, just go, now, you lied about this, Doug Kellett. You lied about that, Doug Kellett. You lied, you know. And
now, Todd, if you got a bitch with Doug, you take it up with him directly. Don't come and write him out to me. You have to call him directly and engage him and on the point.
Well, sweetie, I like to talk to an adult.
Fair. It's not fair to go and rat out somebody to somebody else. You'd take him on directly, Todd, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Dirk calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dirk.
Hello.
Hi, first time caller, and welcome.
Thank you. Well, that was nice. Enid, I just think we should get Gary in there because I'm afraid that if we have Bush, he'll just keep getting the Al-Qaeda mad, and then we're all going to be in more trouble. So if we get Kerry,
I don't think you can pacify Al-Qaeda. I don't think they need Bush to get him mad. I think they're already mad.
If we get Kerry can ask them what they want, and we can give it to them, and they'll leave us alone.
Wait a minute. We're going to have a little sampling, but we're going to write a little questionnaire to Al-Qaeda. What do you want, and we'll give it to you?
That's why you should vote for John Kerry, because he'll give it to them and they'll leave us alone and we won't be scared.
Okay, Dirk, I thank you for that call. Oh, I don't know about that. 303-382-1150 and in Wheat Ridge. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Ann.
I think I have two answers. Well, I have two answers for you. I don't know if you want them. The first one is that
you have answers, but then we can concoct a question.
That's the way it goes.
All right.
What was that Johnny Carson used to do?
Yeah.
I think that fear is making people stick with Bush or Kerry. I think everybody's so afraid. I've talked to people on the right, and they're just about as afraid as we are on the left. And I think
is it that they're afraid of? They've got a liar in the White House.
Oh, they don't look at that though. They just look at the world situation, and I think they fear the left. I think they really do fear us.
I'm watching a press conference now with John. I'm busy draping the statue of Justice Ashcroft. And any time there is negative news that's coming out of about the Justice Department or the FBI, he holds a press conference scaring everybody about some kind of terrorism that never amounts to a hill of beans.
Absolutely. And I think that's why he keeps people in his pocket, is by doing that. I think people are so afraid, they're afraid to look at the options, so they just keep wanting to go down the road they are, even though that's the wrong road.
Now,
I think
Bill Thorpe's theory, and he will, I'm sure, elucidate on this as he takes over the show from one to three today, is that a lot of people have already made up their mind, and it's even Stephen, as far as that's concerned, and that there is this undecided group that everybody's going for, and I don't know what percentage of the voting population they make up. Maybe I'm thinking that there's a guy sitting in his wife beater undershirt in the middle of the desert with a 3-week growth of stubble in a broken down trailer and a pickup truck that's rusting out there, and he's that one voter everybody's going for, that they're pouring zillions of dollars into getting that guy's vote. And he's so addled, he's been drinking for so many years, he doesn't even know who the president is, let alone what country he's living in.
Well, I think that describes quite a few of us.
And I have another
answer. I don't think Bush should apologize, and I can't stand Bush.
Shouldn't he apologize for lying? He lied.
Yeah, I know he did. I know he did. And
He's never going to apologize, but why do you think he shouldn't?
Because I think it's the same thing. I think that the fear would just grow even more, just, you know, explode.
Well, first of all, he's a weak and cowardly man.
Yes.
And so to apologize would only underscore it, and he's been playing. He's like an actor playing the role of Mr. Macho in the testosterone zone.
Actually, that might be good for us, mightn't it? Because maybe some of the right-wingers that have been in denial would no longer be able to.
Thanks, Ann. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Your summer passport for news and information. Identification, please.
Where talk happens. AM 1150 KNRC.
Enjoy your summer.
Hey guys, don't let the weather get the best of you. Fight back and protect the value of your home with Duration exterior coating from your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Unlike other exterior paints, Duration protects in one coat, and it's guaranteed for as long as you own your home. And now, buy 4 or more gallons of Duration exterior coating and get 50% off your choice of any Werner ladder. And make the job easier with our new line of paint sprayers and pressure washers, too. Ask how. Ask now. Ask Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
I'm Jonathan Anton, owner of Jonathan's Salon, which can be seen on Bravo's reality show, Blowout. I'm also the owner of a line of styling products with simple names like Clean, Cleaner, Soft, and Softer, which is only fitting since tracking the expenses that go into producing them has become pretty simple itself.
With Open, the Small Business Network, Jonathan Anton has the tools to make big things happen. To learn more about how Jonathan relies on the Open Network, go to open.americanexpress.com.
Honey, when are you going to fix that hole in the wall? And what about the basement? You said you'd fix up the basement.
Broadway Construction can assist you with your home projects ranging from drywalling and plaster repair to old home restorations and complete home construction. Broadway Construction also works on commercial construction projects of all sizes. Broadway Construction is a family-owned business, and they approach each project with an understanding of the impact a construction project can have on your life or business. Serving the Front Range from Castle Rock to Boulder, Broadway Construction is committed to traditional business values and operate in the spirit of doing business the right way. Broadway Construction, complete home and commercial construction services, 303-926-4410.
Oh, I love the basement. Thanks for working with Broadway Construction.
When it comes to commercial or home construction projects of all sizes, do it the right way with Broadway.
Trust and experience are two very important factors when considering medical treatments to enhance your natural beauty. I'm Dr. Robert Tuckler of the Plastic Surgery Clinic and Denver Skin Aesthetics. I would like to extend my personal invitation to visit our clinic. We offer our patients the finest care when it comes to the delicate art of plastic surgery and the latest advancements in cosmetic facial injectables, including Botox, Restylane, and Radiance. We have just purchased the most advanced laser system available, the Cutera Zio. This laser offers many options, including removal of facial and leg veins, age spots, and a skin rejuvenation process which stimulates new collagen growth and diminishes the appearance of fine lines. Hair removal is also available. Our nurses and aestheticians will evaluate your skin while listening to your needs. All treatments are performed under a doctor's supervision, a service we feel is mandatory. We have some of the top doctors in the area and have been honored by 5280, Town & Country, and Vogue. Call us at 303-830-7200 and request a complimentary facial assessment.
Listeners receive 10% off their first filler and 20% off their first Botox treatment. Call 303-830-7200.
AM 1150 KNRC and the Denver Business Journal present Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Tune in to KNRC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. to hear interviews with leaders like Charles Schwab, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Gloria Steinem, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These extraordinary individuals will share what made the difference in their careers and help them to establish their roles as leaders. Insights is brought to you by EKS and H Accounting and Business Advisory Firm and First National Bank of Colorado.
I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are mixed at this hour. The Dow up only a point. The Nasdaq treading below the red line, down 12 points. The markets are down following a key report showing higher than expected numbers on inflation last month. That leads investors to worry just how aggressive the Federal Reserve will be when it presumably raises interest rates in less than 2 weeks. Fewer people signed up for unemployment benefits last week. That Labor Department report suggests the growing economy is sparking a rally in the jobs market. On the other hand, part of the decline is pegged to the fact that unemployment offices were closed the day of the Reagan funeral. New York State Attorney General Elliot Spitzer fuming over some ads for cigarettes, so he's suing the manufacturer. Spitzer says a campaign for cool cigarettes explicitly targeted kids using hip-hop music and advertising in magazines with a high youth readership. And Carnival Cruise to a sharply higher profit in the second quarter as the line continues to recover from fears of terrorism. I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC Business Radio.
Centuries ago, from the darkest ages, came a legend of a great king, Arthur, and his loyal circle of knights. But did the greatest king who ever lived, ever live? Journey over the Highlands and into the deepest region of England to discover the life behind the legend. Quest for King Arthur, as only the History Channel can bring you. This Sunday night at 9, 8 Central. Slay the myth.
He's your hero, your advisor, your biggest fan. He's your dad, and Sunday is his day. With over 4,300 stores nationwide, Walgreens makes it easy for you to celebrate dad or any special man in your life. Your neighborhood Walgreens has a great selection of gifts like fragrances, digital cameras, electric shavers, and more. Of course, you'll also find plenty of Hallmark cards to help say, "Thanks, Dad." You'll find it all at Walgreens.
Aren't you tired of minutes after minutes of clutter you'll find on other Denver Talk radio stations? We are, and that's why AM 1150 KNRC is here. We don't have high debt payments that you pay for with less programming. AM 1150 KNRC. More talk, less clutter.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:30 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Actually, I'm only yours until 1 o'clock. Bill Thorpe will take over the 1 and the 2 o'clock hours of the show because Joe Anderson, my producer, and I are making our way to Aspen for the Food and Wine Classic. Food and Wine Magazine annual classic up there. Every fancy chef in the world is going to be there. Wolfgang Puck is going to be there. Mario Batali is going to be there. Bobby Flay. So if you are watchers of the Food Network, there's just a whole stellar lineup, and they're going to be doing demonstrations. They're going to be wine tastings, both with and without the age. We will serve no wine before it's time. And we're going to be calling in a Jim Condor show on Saturday. So special show live tomorrow from Aspen. And then Saturday we'll be calling in to Jim Condor's program noon to 2 right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Let's go to the phones and to Bob calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hello, this is Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. I was listening to the radio, and the caller, I think two people back, he sounded phony. I don't believe that he was a real Democrat or someone with a real conscience, someone saying that, you know, saying
what specifically was said?
He was saying that we should find out anything, find out what Al-Qaeda wants and give them anything that they want. You responded to him with disbelief yourself. So, in any case.
So what's your, but what is your point?
Oh, my point there was I think that he was just to make Democrats and liberals look like weak willies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you didn't believe that he was a real caller.
Right.
Okay.
Another thing that I was thinking about is, Hoffman's response to someone using the quote the C word.
Yes.
And at the
All right. So what's your, tell me what your point is about the C word and Hoffman's
point,
use.
Yeah, I understand. She was saying that this was just this could be used as a term of endearment.
Yes, we know that. All right, but tell me what your point is.
My point is that it's a sidestep. It's that she avoided the real thrust of the question.
Well,
the thing that I wanted to point out was that this is what the Bush administration is doing all the time. And so,
okay, Bob, we're gonna leave it there. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Right now, Donald Rumsfeld is, giving a live press conference. And I know what the topic is because I saw an earlier press conference with President Bush. In the earlier press conference with President Bush, he said that, there were contacts between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, even though the 9/11 panel said there were not. And he was asked, Bush was asked a question about Donald Rumsfeld, the defense secretary, when it comes to the ghost detainees. And what a ghost detainee is the following. when you have detained somebody as a sort of an occupying power, or what you do is you make a list of who these people are that you have in your custody, and that list is made available to the Red Cross, and they inspect. This is now an international kind of thing. I'm assuming this has to do with the Geneva Convention. They inspect to be sure that no one's being tortured and that their people are getting proper food, they're getting proper medical care, and so forth. So they're a humanitarian organization. What Rumsfeld did was to deliberately leave the names of certain detainees off of these lists. He said they were high level. We know of one for sure, and there may have been several. And now they're being referred to as ghost detainees. And this has all started to come out now, ghost detainees. And this was all done on Rumsfeld's watch. And now that it has come out, he's having to address it, and he's holding a press conference discussing it at this very moment. Now, the Washington Post has been a story now that the Washington Post leaked a torture memo. This torture memo that came from the highest levels of the White House had with it, you know, what we consider torture. If it's worse than like an organ transplant, then it's torture. But if it's not as bad a pain as an organ transplant, then that's not torture. Now, can you believe that we would be splitting hairs like this, this country? So the Washington Post has written, to understand the magnitude of what may have gone on in America's secret prisons, you don't need special security clearance or inside information. Anyone who wants to connect the dots can do it. So here's item number one, the torture memo. It was written in August 2002 by the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel at the request of the CIA and then the White House. This memo argues that, quote, it may be justified to torture Al-Qaeda suspects. The memo posted last week on the Post's website also speculates that international law which categorically prohibits torture may be unconstitutional. Oh, really? Then there was item number two, the Rumsfeld memo. This document was unearthed by the Wall Street Journal. It was written in March of 2003. So look at the timeline. The torture memo, August 2002. The Rumsfeld memo, March 2003, by a Pentagon working group. It declared not only that the American president has the power to evade international law and torture foreign prisoners, but that interrogators who follow the president's commands can, in addition, be held immune from prosecution. Item number three, the Abu Ghraib photos. Remember what they show, not just torture, but guards who appear absolutely certain of their legal and moral right to torture, as well as a lot of people standing around watching. Item number four, the dog testimony. Two army dog handlers assigned to Abu Ghraib have submitted sworn statements, again obtained by the Washington Post, asserting that military intelligence officers told them to use dogs to frighten prisoners. The Army had said that any use of dogs in interrogations would have needed approval from the U.S. military commander in Iraq. And they concocted some of these techniques at Guantanamo Bay and then imported them to Iraq. So connect the dots. They lead from the White House to the Pentagon to Abu Ghraib, and from Abu Ghraib back to military intelligence, and thus to the Pentagon and the White House. Is that a picture? Is torture legal? Is this what we want to be known for? 303-382-1150. And in the polls, more than half of Iraqis surveyed believe that they would be safer without U.S. forces in their country, and that all Americans behave like the prison guards at Abu Ghraib. A Mother Jones poll shows nearly two-thirds of American voters say the country is on the wrong track, and most people believe they are personally worse off than 3 years ago. I'm going to ask you the question, are you better off or are you worse off than 3 years ago? Two new state polls put Bush ahead of Kerry in Florida, 50-43%. Bush leads Kerry in Florida, 50-43%. Kerry leads Bush in Maryland, 52-38% by a bigger span, 52-38%. Most Americans do not want to put Ronald Reagan on a $10 bill or on the dime, in case anybody wants to drop a dime. Red state, blue state, fat state, thin state. The red state, the blue state. Oh, this is interesting. You know, we have a red-blue debate. Red states are apparently fat states, and they are the conservative ones. Blue states are apparently thin states. People aren't as porky. And according to a Gallup poll, most Americans say it was not worth going to war in Iraq. Half want some or all U.S. troops to come home. I'm Enid Goldstein. I want your comments on these. Are you better off or worse off than you were 3 years ago? Most of us say it was not worth going to a war in Iraq. If you think it was really worth it, I want to hear from you, especially we'll bump you up to the top of the line, 303-382-1150. And more than half Iraqi surveyed believe that they would be safer without U.S. forces in their country. It's like, why are we killing ourselves to be there? I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
12:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Cloudy and 57 degrees. Englewood police are investigating an apparent homicide. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Starting to see a lot of traffic building on northbound I-25 as you head up toward 20th Street. That's because of the baseball game this afternoon. Starts in about a half an hour or so. Other big freeway problem is around the I-25, I-225 interchanges. We've had some accidents and debris and traffic in there. The northbound lanes of I-25 are clear. The southbound lanes of I-225 approaching the Valley Highway are not. There's an accident in there. And southbound I-225 is jammed all the way back to Parker Road. Getting a report of an accident northbound I-25 at 58th Avenue. We'll check into that one for you. And I-25 and Castle Pines Parkway in Douglas County. Traffic easing up somewhat in there after an earlier accident. Right now you can get an auto classified ad in Post News Marketplace for as low as $39. Call 825-2525. Private parties only. Restrictions apply. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Englewood police are investigating the death of a woman whose body was found on the railroad tracks in Englewood last night. And investigators say it appears the woman's body was dragged to the tracks. At this point, the woman's identity is unknown, as is the cause of death. This report brought to you by the network of 18 John Elway AutoNation showrooms. Republican Senate candidate Bob Schaefer is upset that a Coors Brewing Company ad featuring Schaefer's rival Pete Coors ran during the third game of the NBA Finals on June 10th and ran where Colorado voters could see it. The brewery says it was an accidental airing of an old ad, and the ESPN network says it takes responsibility for accidentally running the commercial. Schaefer calls it illegal campaign activities. Sentencing is set today in Los Angeles for Patrick Graber. He's the man who was accused of offering to kill the Colorado woman who says Kobe Bryant raped her last year. Graber had initially been charged with solicitation to commit murder, but made a deal with prosecutors to plead no contest charges of grand theft. Graber faces up to 3 years in the slammer. John Elway showrooms are celebrating July 4th independence. Declare independence from your old car, high interest rates, and get the highest factory incentives ever offered. Go to the John Elway showrooms today. We'll take a look at the KNRC forecast next. KNRC News Time is 12:41.
Info.
What's up?
The scoop.
The latest.
What do you know?
What's new?
Listen and we'll tell you. Hear Colorado talk. AM 1150, KNRC.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast. Mostly cloudy skies through the rest of the afternoon. Some scattered thunderstorms are possible for us. Pretty much the same for this evening. Slight chance of some showers, too, after midnight. The overnight temperature around 50 degrees. For tomorrow, partly cloudy. Chance of some afternoon thunderstorms will top out near 70. It's cloudy and 57 now. KNRC News Time is 12:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis and eczema for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, is the only treatment I've used that actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch, no more bleeding, and I haven't had a flare-up since I started using it. Look, I'm in a t-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skin Zinc is the only product that's helped. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you, they don't. It's really the closest thing to a medical miracle.
Call now for your 30-day risk-free trial of Skin Zinc at 800-837-0523. It's guaranteed. Call 800-837-0523. Active ingredient is FDA approved. Call 800-837-0523. That's 800-837-0523.
This U.S. Open Golf Update brought to you by The Ridge at Castle Pines North, your country club for a day. All the players at this year's U.S. Open are either on the course or in the clubhouse. Shigeki Miriyama and Jay Haas lead the tournament at minus four. They fired first-round 66s at Shinnecock Hills. Dave Roach, Jeff Maggart, Skip Kendall, Chris Koch, and Ben Curtis are all in the clubhouse at minus two. Some notables, Phil Mickelson is through four. He is minus one. Tiger Woods shot a 72 today. He is two over par. Ernie Els finished his round earlier. He is in an even par 70. David Duval, who's making his comeback, shot an 83 today. He is 13 over par, the last player on the list. Call the Ridge at Castle Pines North now and set up a tee time at 303-688-4301. You'll get 20% off if you tell them you've heard about it on KNRC. I'm Tony DeZuri, and this has been your U.S. Open Golf Update.
Now, another long set of uninterrupted talk. Here's Enid Goldstein.
12:45 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours just for about 15 minutes more. So if you want to tie up loose ends before I head out to Aspen and Food and Wine, the Classic will be broadcasting live from there tomorrow with a lot of really good information and I think some really fine guests, excellent guests we have lined up for you. Also, I want to remind you that on the 25th, we are going to be broadcasting live from the Denver Press Club. We do this once a month, and there's always a theme to the show. And because it's June, and because many of us are incurable romantics, or maybe we're curable romantics, I don't know, it's all going to be about weddings and romance, but not necessarily all that sweet side of stuff. You know, I hope we can get some divorce attorneys on and the matchmaking business. There's a huge business of romance in this country, and we want to make you aware of scam artists and all the things that go into it. And I just think it's kind of interesting because I passed by ours, that shop, and I saw all these wedding gowns, and I went in to look at them, and I mean, these are like battleships. These are full rigs. These are full sail, these things, and they cost a fortune, and there's just this whole underbelly of romance and weddings and walking into the sunset together that I want to get to as well. So that's going to be live from the Denver Press Club on the 25th. We're also going to have David Brooks on, who is a columnist for the New York Times. So we have a really good guest lined up, as we always try to do for you. We're talking about some poll results. More than half of Iraqis surveyed think that they'd be better off without us over there. A Mother Jones poll shows that nearly two-thirds of American voters say the country's on the wrong track and most believe that they are personally worse off than 3 years ago. Are you better off or are you worse off than 3 years ago is my question. In one state poll, Florida, Bush is ahead of Kerry. In Maryland, Kerry is ahead of Bush. Most Americans don't want to put Ronald Reagan on either a $10 bill or a dime. And if you live in a red state, you're liable to be porkier than if you live in a blue state where you're liable to be thinner. And the Gallup poll tells us that most Americans say that it was not worth going to war in Iraq. Half want some or all U.S. troops to come home. 303-382-1150. Patrick calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. I was just calling to say that support the war in Iraq, and I think that it was justified doing it.
Why?
Well, there's been established that Saddam, high-ranking officials with Saddam, had met with high-ranking officials in Al-Qaeda.
But have you not seen the 9/11 Commission report that says that there was really no relationship between Saddam and Al-Qaeda, that, in fact, Saddam rebuffed Al-Qaeda? Did you not see that? He rebuffed Osama bin Laden?
Yes,
this is what the 9/11 Commission has concluded. So why are you concluding otherwise?
The 9/11 Commission didn't find evidence. They didn't say that there was no evidence. They just said that it was not found.
So why do you believe, in the absence of any evidence that anybody can produce, why do you believe to the contrary?
Because we have in custody Iraqis who have said that they were high-ranking.
But the 9/11 commission would have talked to everybody and gotten everything, and so they don't have any evidence. Why do you, Patrick, in Denver, believe that you have evidence that they don't have?
Why do I believe that they don't?
That you have evidence. You're saying you believe that there was an association between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. And the 9/11 commission says there wasn't any. So why are you saying, what evidence do you have? Maybe you should send it, Patrick, to the 9/11 commission.
Because there's evidence that...
What evidence? They looked at all the evidence. You saw evidence that they didn't see? You, Patrick, in Denver saw evidence? They saw intelligence reports. They all have high-level security clearances. They saw the evidence that was there. You maintain that they were wrong and you're right? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. I'm saying that there have been Iraqis in custody that have said that,
but
Iraqi
they couldn't find
it,
nothing. Nothing of any substance. So, you know, if they had a couple of phone calls, is that a reason to go to war, Patrick?
Well, the war is not. The war is not entirely based on a relationship between Al Qaeda.
Oh well, maybe it was. Maybe it was also based on finding weapons of mass destruction. What about that?
Which it has been established that Saddam had at one point.
Yes, but did not have when we went in there.
Well, where did they go? Where did he ship them?
Where did they
somewhere.
Go? Well,
somewhere.
They went the way, Patrick, darling, they went the way of your intelligence. I don't know where they went. You know, there's no evidence that they're there, and there's no evidence that that the 9/11 Commission could find between a relationship between Al-Qaeda and Iraq, and you want to believe that it's there, they just couldn't find it. God bless you. I have fairy tales I want to sell you. I think you should write a few yourself, but how can we have a discussion about it? But I thank you for trying, and I hope you'll call us again, Patrick, 303-382-1150. Steve in Louisville. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Steve.
Good to hear you again. If the 9/11 Commission, and I don't know, I haven't seen their report, I've just read what's in the newspapers, but if they did not address the issue of Ansar al-Salam connection with Iraq and Al-Qaeda, then they've done a terrible thing by saying what they said. There's a definite connection between Al-Qaeda and Ansar, and there's a definite connection between Ansar and Iraqi intelligence.
Let me tell you something. Take it up with the 9/11 Commission. They have found no, they have, you think they, you, Steve, in Louisville, you'll write them a letter and you'll tell them what your evidence is. You'll say, you know what, dear 9/11 Commission, you made a big mistake. There are all these relationships that I, Steve, in Louisville, know all about, and you apparently in Washington with your high-level security clearances and reviewing all the intelligence data and including testimony from detainees and so forth, you haven't seen it. I think, Steve, it's your patriotic duty to write this letter to Richard Benvenista, Jamie Gorelick, Lee Hamilton, Governor Keene, I mean, everybody who's on the commission. Steve, write them a letter. Tell them. I think it's you ought to do it if you're a real American. And you know what? This reminds me of a story. I don't know if I've told this story. God love my grandmother. Her English wasn't great. And one day I came home from school and television was, you know, she loved television. And, she was in a lather. She was in a complete tizzy. I said, Grandma, what's wrong? She said, she's watching the soap operas. She said, I watched one man kill another man, and they threw the wrong person in jail. I said, oh, no. She said, and I want you to sit down and write him a letter and tell him who did it. So I looked at Grandma, and I looked at the TV set, and I said, Grandma, I said, you know what? This is just a play. No, she said. I saw it with my own eyes. So I sat down and pretended I was writing a letter to tell him who really did it. And God bless my grandmother. So, Steve in Louisville, you write them a letter. Tell them who really did it. 303-382-1150. George calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, George.
I want to talk, you know, they just found out that in the reports that there wasn't an actual, I'm sure that Al-Qaeda and Saddam talked, but there wasn't any proof that they helped, that Saddam helped Al-Qaeda.
There was no proof they actually slept together. Maybe they had a date or two. They had dinner one night. Who knows?
And I'm sure the whole, Republicans will say, well, yeah, there was talks. And I don't doubt that, but there wasn't any proof that there was help between the two of those.
Yeah, they talked and that was it.
So the first two reasons of why we went into the war, now I'm not doubting either that Saddam Hussein's a very bad man. We've known that for decades. But there wasn't enough to sell the war. So for George Bush to sell the war, he had to go after weapons of mass destruction and a link to Al-Qaeda.
And all of it, Ed, all of it turned out to be bogus. All of it turned out to be false. And the New York Times says he owes the American people an apology, which you are never going to get. If you start holding your breath waiting for that apology, you're going to be purple. You're going to be the same color as Saddam Hussein was when they found him in that hole.
Well, more than an apology, you know, when Clinton lied, he lied about his extramarital affairs.
Mm-hmm.
He was impeached. Now, when George Bush lied, it cost billions of dollars and killed many Americans. Where is the, you know, correlation or equity in that?
Well, the question would be, as you framed it very well, where is the justice? And I thank you, George, for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Where will we send Justin next?
What's going on here?
Find out by keeping your radio locked in at AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
The Orkin Man knows just because you don't see carpenter ants doesn't mean they're not trying to turn your house into a sack of sawdust. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin Man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. Take advantage of great low mortgage rates today. Call Western State Mortgage at 888-617-5255 and get a loan package that is custom tailored for your individual needs. A recent customer had this to say.
I got burned by another mortgage company. They made promises that simply didn't follow through. Then I called Western State Mortgage and they consolidated my debt at a much lower rate. And now I'm saving over $800 per month. I should have called Western State Mortgage first.
You too can lower your mortgage payment by literally hundreds of dollars per month. Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad, and if they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Start your 2004 off right and call them now at 888-617-5255 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. Call them at 888-617-5255. That's 888-617-5255. Equal housing lender.
Relax, it's me.
Why are so many homeowners so cool and calm these days? Because when they needed air conditioning, they knew just what to do. Call your Rheem dealer. Rheem dealers install top quality, energy efficient Rheem products. So relax.
Call Team Heating and Air Conditioning for all your heating and cooling needs at 303-286-1589.
Hi, I'm Bill Doyle, owner of Team Heating and Air Conditioning, and I'd like to help you enjoy the benefits of an air-conditioned home this summer. We offer honest pricing, good service, and no gimmicks at Team Heating and Air Conditioning. We can give you a quick quote over the phone and stand by it by asking only a few simple questions. Next day installation is always available. You will receive a free programmable thermostat with installation and be eligible for a $350 rebate from Xcel. Call me today, Bill, at 303-286-1589. That's 303-286-1589.
Ah, a spa.
Mountain biking.
I'd like to shop till I drop, then sit down for a great meal, then maybe go dancing.
Horseback riding. No. Rafting. No. Riding an alpine slide. No.
I'd love to get in a few rounds of amazing golf.
Breckenridge, making perfect quick getaways. Tucked in the mountains close to home. Breckenridge offers over 150 things to do and see this summer. So plan to spend the weekend. Call today for competitive rates and tailored vacation. Go to GoBreckNow.com.
Supporting those involved in serving and protecting our country has never been more important. The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is to ensure our veterans receive the medical care and rehabilitation to which they're entitled, to provide programs that strengthen bodies and stimulate minds, to ensure access to housing, education, and transportation. To find out how you can support our nation's paralyzed veterans, call 1-866-USA-4PVA. That's 1-866-USA-4PVA.
Your back hurts. It's the moment of choice. What should you take? Truth is, doctors nationwide recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain. Advance to Advil Relief.
For political junkies like us, Decision 2004 is the Super Bowl. AM 1150 KNRC is going to be your best source of coverage of John Kerry versus George Bush. No one else can do a better job. AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoon from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:58 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live, Billy Thorpe will be taking over in just a second. Let's go to the phones. Kevin in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Hey, I was glad to hear that one of those Steves call your show today. They were calling yesterday trying to defend this nonsense. And it just occurs to me, what is it going to take to get some of these people to finally see the light. You know,
A lobotomy.
I think that there's three kinds of people. There's the rational people who rejected the attempts the Bush administration made to give rational arguments in support of their ridiculous positions. Those people know what they're thinking. Then there's the emotional people who succumbed to the fear, succumbed to the emotional pleas, succumbed to the propaganda, but they're starting to come around. And then there's the people like Steve who just, I believe, have no conscience. So they just come out and they try to defend this because there's something in it for them. And it just pisses me off to no end. Just wanted to let you know that.
All right. Thanks for the call. That's it for me right now. Joe Anderson and I are going to be making our way to Aspen. We'll be broadcasting live from the Aspen Classic. It costs a ton to go, so you get it for nothing by listening to AM 1150 KNRC. Thank you to Sean. Billy Thorpe up next, and he will be yours until 3 o'clock. I'm Enid Goldstein. We'll see you from Aspen both Friday and Saturday. The Jim Conder Show will be calling in with reports, and his show airs from noon to 2 right here on AM 1150 KNRC. All the juiciest and the latest and all sorts of good stuff on food and wine and with and without the H. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. Members of the special panel looking into the 9/11 attacks say the response by U.S. officials on that terrible day was confused, sometimes contradictory. Executive Director Philip Zelikow says the American air defense system was in chaos.
NORAD and the FAA were unprepared for the type of attacks launched against the United States on September 11, 2001. They struggled under difficult circumstances to improvise a homeland defense against an unprecedented challenge they had never encountered and had never trained to meet.
The commission says at one point Vice President Dick Cheney was under the mistaken belief that U.S. fighters were shooting down hijacked planes as he had authorized. Two car bombings in Iraq have killed at least 39 people today. One blast was at an Iraqi army recruiting station. It was apparently aimed at scaring away people who want to work for the new Iraqi government. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
Don't miss the JCPenney lowest prices of the season sale just in time for Father's Day with our lowest prices throughout the store. Saturday, shop early for fantastic doorbusters 9 a.m. till 1, like a colorful selection of St. John's Bay polos for Dad, only $9.99. Plus, great buy one, get one for just a dollar specials all day. Don't forget Dad on Sunday and hurry in to the JCPenney lowest prices of the season sale. It all starts Saturday at 9 a.m.
It's all in time.
JCPenney.
Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends June 24th.
Centuries ago, from the darkest ages, came a legend of a great king, Arthur, and his loyal circle of knights. But did the greatest king who ever lived, ever live? Journey over the Highlands and enter the deepest region of England to discover the life behind the legend. Quest for King Arthur, as only the History Channel can bring you. This Sunday night at 9, 8 Central. Slay the myth.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon, cloudy, 57 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Englewood police are investigating a suspicious death. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
It's a late arriving crowd for the baseball game this afternoon. Still seeing a lot of heavy traffic northbound I-25 from Spear Boulevard on up toward 20th Street, particularly the right lane congested in there as folks try to get into the stadium in time for the ball game. Maybe a little bit late, but better late than never if the Red Sox and the Rockies are playing, I guess. Still some congestion around the I-25, I-225 interchange because of some earlier accidents. Northbound I-25 still heavy from 225 on up through Colorado Boulevard. Most of that now volume and construction related. Also an accident in the clearing stages. Northbound I-25 at 58th Avenue. Tyson Foods with the information. If it's a family meal tonight, look for Tyson's fully cooked beef roast, hickory smoked bacon, and chicken nuggets, that is, in your neighborhood grocer. It's in the bright red packaging. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
A railroad conductor last night spotted the body of a woman on the railroad tracks near South Raritan Street and East Yale Avenue in Englewood. Investigators don't know the identity of the woman nor the cause of her death, but they are treating it as a homicide. This report brought to you by Post News Marketplace. The cleanup in Sterling following last week's tornado is just about complete. Since the twister, packing winds up to 112 miles an hour struck, Sterling Emergency Management Coordinator John Rosenland says residents have not been sitting idly by.
To date, we've hauled over 100 tons of debris to the county landfill, and there are still loads being taken as we speak.
The most damage was suffered by the Logan County Fairgrounds, with damages estimated at $600,000. Federal investigators say they've broken up a six-state drug ring that included Colorado. Specific details about towns and suspects not being released yet, but authorities say the ring laundered at least $5 million through a liquor store in Littleton. Investigators say speed, cocaine, and marijuana were sold and the proceeds wired by Western Union. The ring operated in Colorado, Arizona, Kansas, Missouri, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire. 15 people listed in the indictment, prosecutors not saying if any have been arrested yet. In sports, the Colorado Rockies have a chance to win three in a row this afternoon as they take on the Boston Red Sox in the last game of their three-game series. Today's game just getting underway. Want to sell your car? Place an auto classified ad in Post News Marketplace and they'll run it online until it sells, guaranteed. Call 825-2525. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 104.
Your summer passport for news and information. Identification, please.
Where talk happens. AM 1150 KNRC.
Enjoy your summer.
Due to increased consignments of brand new cars and trucks, an official inventory clearance event will be held at Colorado's transportation destination, the MedVed Autoplex.
During this closeout, sacrifice pricing exists on more than $80 million worth of inventory.
Profit is not a major consideration.
MedVed is stocked fence to fence with Chevrolet, Cadillac, Ford, Lincoln, Mercury,
Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Hummer.
More arrive daily. These vehicles are inaccessible to other dealers.
0% financing is available for qualified buyers. More than 50 financial institutions will be available to ensure your best possible acquisition terms.
National appraisers will be on hand to assess your trade for its highest possible value.
During this limited time event, there will be a significant price reduction on everything MedVed sells.
Hurry. If you're thinking about buying now or in the next 6 months, don't miss this opportunity.
Selection is huge.
Act now.
Only at MedVed on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheat Ridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVed Autoplex.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. The rain and the isolated thunderstorms coming off the foothills could dump some heavy amounts on us through the afternoon. It puts us at risk for severe weather, and we'll have a wet day tomorrow as well. We'll have highs in the upper 50s, lows in the mid-40s, and some thunderstorms on Saturday, a little bit of sunshine too, with highs in the low 60s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy and 57 now. The National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning for the Haman burn scar in northwestern Teller County. That's in effect until 4 o'clock this afternoon. KNRC News Time is 106. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
106 here on AM 1150 KNRC. I am Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid has got to rush to the mountains. Why? Tomorrow, she's going to be broadcasting live from the Aspen Food and Wine Festival. She's got a whole bunch of guests scheduled, but most of them have funny last names. They're French and Spanish, and I'm not going to butcher them, so I'm not going to tell you who she's got scheduled, because I can't say them properly. So you wouldn't recognize them anyway. I know that I talked to some friend. I talked to Jacques Philippin, I think it was. I don't know. Some chef that we were working on getting him on the show with Enid. So she and Joe are actually going to trek up the mountains. Wanted to make sure they got out of here, one, before traffic got too bad in the afternoon, as far as getting them up I-70, and two, want to make sure they get there because there's a big 6 o'clock tonight press schmooze event that'll be kind of cool. So they're going to be hitting that tonight, and they're going to bring you all sorts of things from Aspen Food and Wine Festival tomorrow. So I'm stepping in. Enid was nice enough to invite me in for the final 2 hours to join you. My name's Bill Thorpe, 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150, and might as well continue the topic that Enid had. I think it's a good one, and I think you and I talked a little bit about it yesterday, if you were nice enough to join me between noon and one before Enid got back from jury duty. But basically, we're looking at the September 11th commission and how there's really no connection between Al-Qaeda, Saddam, and September 11th, and how there are very tenuous connections between Al-Qaeda and Iraq in general. But then we hear, well, on Monday from Vice President Cheney, he absolutely said there were long-established ties with Al-Qaeda. And then yesterday, actually this morning, Bush said he disagreed with what the September 11th commission found and said, quote, there was a relationship between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. He insisted to reporters following a meeting with his cabinet at the White House. The administration, he said, quote, never said the September 11th attacks were orchestrated between Saddam and Al-Qaeda. But we did say there were numerous contacts between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda. For example, Iraqi intelligence agents met with Osama bin Laden and the head of Al-Qaeda in Sudan. They met, but nothing became of them. And that seems to be the issue as far as the connection. And that's what we keep coming back to is, you know, and Enid was talking with you last hour, the idea of this connection. Why is this continuing to persist? Bush again says that there were ties between the two organizations. And I'll tell you why I believe that this connection continues to be made and will probably continue to be made over the next 24 hours. You're probably going to hear several times on this station in the next 24 hours that there absolutely was a connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda and that we had to invade. Again, not necessarily around September 11th. They've had to drop that. But that there was a connection. And you know why it's so important? Because if you don't have that connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, the conclusion that we had to go to war with Iraq dries up pretty quickly. Right now, we've got no weapons of mass destruction. We have no Al-Qaeda. We have no nuclear weapons. We have no connection to September 11th. So what we don't really have that was directly sold to us before the war is a threat. And that's something that I think the dialogue is forgetting right now, is that we keep coming back and people keep saying, well, we had to invade Saddam because of violations of the UN Security Council resolutions, or we had to invade Saddam because he was a danger to us. But was he a danger? How do we then justify the war walking into Iraq if the September 11th Commission says not only does he not have any connection to September 11th, but there aren't great connections between Saddam and Al-Qaeda to begin with? I mean, even if we go back to the CIA Director of Intelligence, George Tenet, who recently resigned, he told the Senate earlier this year that Mr. al-Zarqawi, he's the gentleman that everybody points to as the connection. He is the connection. The connection has amounted to one individual. One individual that leaves Afghanistan after being injured, gets into Iraq, and receives medical treatment. George Tenet told the Senate earlier this year that Zarqawi did not work with the Hussein regime. Yeah, sure, he received medical attention and was held there, but didn't work with them. They weren't partnering up. Well, then why do we have this connection? Why do we still have this insistence that there is this war on terror that we are fighting inside of Iraq? I made the case again and again and again that it simply doesn't exist. The war on terror wasn't about Iraq. Iraq was a minor player. In any way, shape, or form, any way that you dice it, Iraq comes out being a minor player in the war on terror. They are not a major terrorism-sponsoring nation. They don't provide the weapons. They don't provide the funding. They don't provide the foot soldiers. None of those pieces existed inside of Iraq. So why were they so important to the war on terror? What was it that they provided to us? Well, I've heard it said that what that provided to us was the opportunity to basically change the theater. To sit there and say, you know what? We are going to say, here is the nation in which you're going to fight us now. Okay, you know, I actually understand that idea that we went and we made the ground zero for the war on terror, now basically Iraq. So they're not trying to come over here. They still are coming over here and still trying to and still going to try to blow up stuff inside the United States. We can't be that naive. But I understand the idea that we create Iraq as ground zero, but the question would be, why Iraq? I mean, if we really are going to do ground zero and really going to fight the terrorists, why don't we pick a Middle Eastern nation that may have had some tighter ties to terrorism? Say Iran. Say Syria. Heck, we were right next to Afghanistan. Why not roll into Pakistan? They're dirty as heck as far as terrorism. They were ones that were funding and saying the Taliban was legitimate and giving them money up until the time that we walked in there and bounced the Taliban out of Afghanistan. They were still legitimate, according to Pakistan. Pakistan's been caught selling weapons, selling technology. They've been the front man for many illegal arms sales and trafficking. It is because of Pakistan's direct involvement in North Korea that some of the nuclear secrets have been passed around the world. Because Pakistan, because of what they were doing, and they acted as the funnel many times for information and for people to get to and from. North Korea. You needed weapons. You couldn't necessarily get in touch with the North Korean government, but you could get in touch with the Pakistani government, and they can act as the in-between, the middleman. And that's what they did. We also forget that President Musharraf in Pakistan came to power through a coup and supported terrorism beforehand. So when we look at what he was doing inside of Iraq and what Saddam was doing inside of Iraq and what Musharraf was doing inside of Pakistan, they're somewhat similar. Sharif isn't as much of a heavy-handed dictator. No, he wasn't doing some of the torture, etc., that Saddam Hussein was. But then again, I'm sorry, the Saddam Hussein torture aspect enters so late in the game as far as a reason that it's... I don't put much weight behind it because, honestly, if you were worried about the torture, there are lots of other places we could go, and you were definitely silent for the first 20 years of Saddam's regime. Now claiming that there is an issue and that we had to get him now, you didn't care 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago? He was murdering people then, he was throwing them in torture chambers, but now, in 2003 and into 2004, it's an issue. I'm sorry, you're late in the game. If you really think that it was an issue, you should have been screaming about it a while ago. Not just now, that because the other reasons that we went to war fall apart, but I don't know. I want to know what you think. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. I'm going to try to squeeze in a couple of phone calls here so that I'm not just rambling my mouth before we get to the first break. Let's talk to Marie in Denver. Marie, thanks for calling KNRC. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. You're thunder in the background, so if I suddenly go away.
No problem.
I'm agreeing with what you're saying, but I think we have to take it a step further. International law spells out when a nation may do a preemptive strike against another nation. And it's very, very specific, and it does deal with an imminent threat. And we did not have an imminent threat from Iraq. So I believe that we are in violation of international law. I believe that that this is an unjust war, that we're the aggressor, that we did not have justification for going into Iraq. And I think that was apparent before we ever went. I think that the grounds for an imminent threat have to be so unambiguous, so apparent to everybody that that we would then have had the support of the whole world, like I think with Afghanistan and the Taliban. The second thing is, I hear this justification from the highest quarters forward, Condoleezza Rice, saying that, well, at least we're fighting the terrorists in Iraq and not in New York. It's not okay for us to take somebody else's country, somebody else's children, somebody else's neighborhoods, and make them a target for terrorists in order to protect our borders. That's not just. That's not fair. That's a violation of international law. Even though it does protect our country, it's not okay. And I think that when we're dealing in this brand new terrorist kind of thing, that we have to go back to the way we do things. And I think we have to be legal. I think we have to pay attention to international law. I think that we have to act in a way that is just. I don't think that the ends justify the means. And the idea that it's okay to kill Iraqi children as collateral to save American children is an idea I just totally reject. We have to find a better way.
Yeah, we do. And I agree with you, Marie, that the one thing that we have to do here as a nation, one of the things that I thought the U.S. took pride in for many years, was that we tried to act above reproach. We tried to take whatever was the baseline expectations for everybody else and take it one step further, saying because we are, you know, again, as we go back to, we've heard it many times last week with Ronald Reagan, that, you know, Reagan, oh, I forgot the author that originally used it, but Reagan co-opted it and started talking about the U.S. being that shining city on a hill that everybody's trying to achieve to. And we basically have taken that shine off the city, that when you look at how we are viewed internationally and also inside of Iraq, and that's very telling, and I'll get to, Enid had some numbers about it, but I'll get into some deeper numbers, that what was happening with the Coalition Provisional Authority, they did a very in-depth face-to-face survey over the last month, and the results they got were shocking, and this is from the people that, you know, we are in Iraq liberating them.
Yeah. And we're not. Now, there's one thing, we were before. Reagan may indeed have been instrumental in ending the Cold War, but when people came across that wall, east to west, they flashed the peace sign. And that peace sign was what the war protesters, the civil rights people, it's what Americans taught the whole world, the peace sign. And I don't know if that will be associated with America again in my lifetime.
Yeah, I think it's a good telling observation, because one of the things you talked about was the idea of violating international law and the idea that we have to run around and that we were doing this on a preemptive basis,
yeah.
That if you're going to get attacked, if it's imminent, then you can go ahead and have a preemptive strike. But one of the things we've forgotten is that because of how we've gone about the war in Iraq, we've changed the rules for preemptive strike.
Yeah.
We've changed what actually qualifies and what you can do as far as a preemptive strike.
But I don't think that we can say it's okay to change the rules. I think we're in violation of the rules. I think those rules were real clear. There were training camps in Afghanistan, and the Taliban and the terrorists,
yeah.
You know, Al-Qaeda, they were there. They had attacked us once. They represented an imminent threat. I believe that argument can be made. And so I think that we were justified, even though they didn't have, you know, standing armies. They did have we could document that the means that attacked us in the first place were there. And so I think that our attack on Afghanistan was justified. I think that if we had stayed in Afghanistan, if we had gotten bin Laden, if we had made that country, you know, an example of a democracy, a country that really was under the Taliban, I think that would have been a good thing. And I think that we had the cooperation of the people. But what we've done in Iraq, I think, is against international law. And I don't know how we get out of it. I don't know how we make it's a Humpty. I call it the Humpty Dumpty War.
Yeah.
And Maureen Dowd said that before. I don't know how you put it together again. I don't know how you make it right.
Yeah. And what do you think about if you look at what the impact of the war is? What I keep looking at as well, the U.S., we unfortunately over the last 3 years, 4 years really, have been flaunting a lot of international rules. I mean, one of the things that Bush came in to do, he didn't want to sign the Kyoto Treaty, also broke our agreements for the Intercontinental Ballistic Missile Treaty, that basically some of these international groups, and we don't want to be part of the world court, and there are some reasons for that are good,
yeah,
there's some that are invalid, but basically we don't want to. I mean, what this administration has been doing is taking us further and further away from being part of the international community, and I'm worried about that.
Because what Bush is saying, in effect, is might makes right, and we're right, so we are a law unto ourselves, and I think that's wrong. And I think the men and women who fought World War II and won it and set up the United Nations and everything they did for 50 years was finding ways for nations to get along so that we didn't have war. And I think that we have to go back to that. I think that Clinton was right. I think they're more like criminals. I think you treat them like the mafia. I think you have to be on guard. I think you have to do a whole lot of stuff. But I don't think you have to break the law in order to save us.
Yeah. Hey, Marie, I appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's 1:20 here at AM 1150 KNRC. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Talking a little bit more, it's still out there, the idea of the connection between September 11th, Iraq, and Al-Qaeda. The September 11th Commission says it simply doesn't exist. President Bush said, okay, and never said that there was a connection between September 11th and Iraq and Al-Qaeda, but he did say there were numerous connections between Saddam and Al-Qaeda. For example, he's going to Iraqi intelligence agents, meeting bin Laden and some of his associates in Sudan. And we've covered some of those, and you know, there are some independent investigations out there that have come to different connections, different conclusions. The CIA said one thing, FBI said some other things. Who do you believe? 303-382-1150. What's your take on this one? 303-382-1150. I'll take more of your phone calls right after this on AM 1150 KNRC.
America's Department of Homeland Security wants to keep you informed during this war on terrorism.
Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
And AM 1150 KNRC is your best source in Denver when the government issues an alert. AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
In the world of shopping, 70% of the time women do the shopping and the guys get left behind. Hi, I'm Bev Rulo, owner of International Optique. It's important to remember men and their eyewear, as eyewear shows the world what kind of personality they have. International Optique at Tamarack Square salutes men with a very special discount. Choose one dye from our dice collection, roll a two, and receive a 20% discount off your new frame with the purchase of prescription lenses. Roll a six and receive 60% off your new frame. But remember, this game is just for men who want to look beyond fabulous in new eyewear. The discount is yours just for mentioning our game. Allow our staff to create a new look for you with eyewear from Milan Mikley, Click 12, Bada, or Oliver Peoples. You'll be a sure winner at International Optique at Tamarack Square. Guys, come in yourself or bring in your special gal. We'll make getting new eyewear and lenses so easy, you'll want a pair for business, sports, and dress. All at International Optique at Tamarack Square. See you soon.
Bob. Oh, Bob.
Huh? What? Who are...
It's time we talk about our relationship, Bob.
Huh? Our relationship? Now?
It's over, Bob.
Over? But you're my computer.
That's why it's over. We just don't have the right connection. It's been fun, but you know, our relationship has been feeling, well, limited. Wouldn't you rather get out of the house and meet other singles?
Well, yeah, but how?
The answer is one phone call away. Cottonwood Connection. They help singles connect. Real people, fun-filled events. Frankly, Bob, you could use a little sunshine.
But you know me, I'm shy.
At Cottonwood Connection, they encourage courage. Your full year membership includes events and a video profile on their website, so we'll still get to see each other.
Well,
come on, Bob. Isn't it time to get out of the house and really connect? Call Cottonwood Connection, 303-424-2300. Check out their website at www.cottonwoodconnection.com. It's all about the right connection, Bob.
Cottonwood Connection, helping singles connect. Call 303-424-2300 or sign up online at cottonwoodconnection.com.
At this time, while our fighting men and women are overseas fighting for our freedoms, let's enjoy this summer. But AM 1150 KNRC wants to salute those who are fighting the terrorists.
Our enemy is a radical network of terrorists and every government that supports them.
KNRC wants to salute those who are fighting terrorism. Thanks for all you're doing. AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Jed Lesher, CNBC Business Radio. The Dow is down 4 points, the NASDAQ is off 13. Investors continue to worry about inflation after today's larger-than-expected 0.8% increase in the producer price index. The Senate Banking Committee has approved the nomination of Alan Greenspan for a fifth term as chairman of the Federal Reserve. A vote in the full Senate is possible as soon as tomorrow. The U.S. Public Interest Research Group finds one in four credit reports contain serious errors. They're said to be serious enough to cause consumers to be denied credit, a loan, an apartment, or even a job. Rates on 30- and 15-year mortgages are up this week, a trend that isn't expected to clip the wings of the housing market. Freddie Mac says the average for 30-year fixed mortgages moved up to 6.32% compared to 6.30% last week. Rates for one-year adjustable rate mortgages were down 1 basis point to 4.13%. John Lesher, CNBC Business Radio.
Centuries ago, from the darkest ages, came a legend of a great king, Arthur, and his loyal circle of knights. But did the greatest king who ever lived, ever live? Journey over the Highlands and enter the deepest region of England to discover the life behind the legend. Quest for King Arthur, as only the History Channel can bring you. This Sunday night at 9, 8 Central. Slay the myth.
He's your hero, your advisor, your biggest fan. He's your dad, and Sunday is his day. With over 4,300 stores nationwide, Walgreens makes it easy for you to celebrate dad or any special man in your life. Your neighborhood Walgreens has a great selection of gifts like fragrances, digital cameras, electric shavers, and more. Of course, you'll also find plenty of Hallmark cards to help say, "Thanks, Dad." You'll find it all at Walgreens.
We are the Denver radio station that will make some sense out of this crazy world.
Blah, 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 blah.
Our hosts are standing up for you.
Thank you.
AM 1150, KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
127 here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid and Joe are making a run for the hills. No, not the Iron Maiden song. They're actually running up to the Aspen Food and Wine Festival. They're going to be broadcasting live from Aspen Food and Wine Festival tomorrow. And then Enid will be doing some reports on Jim Conder's Food Talk between noon and 2 on Saturday as well. So you can check in tomorrow. Enid's going to be up there schmoozing with all these people that you see on the Food Network and all these chefs that make stuff that I have absolutely no time to prepare, nor can I find all the ingredients. I can never go to the restaurant. I never go to the grocery store and find all the ingredients that they ask me for. They've got some sort of imported small little onions, and I've got to find, like, pickled fish eyes, and I don't know where to find that crap. So she's going to help us do some of that over the weekend, so Friday and Saturday. You can hear Enid a little bit extra on the station. Tomorrow, noon to 3, she's going to be the Aspen Food and Wine Festival, and then she'll be bopping in between noon and 2 on Jim Conder's Food Talk. So take a listen, see what she's doing up in Aspen. I also got to say thank you to Enid for letting me fill in for her today. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. We're talking, continuing the discussion that she started in the first hour, talking about the connections between September 11th, Iraq, Saddam, terrorism connections, war on terror, just kind of doing the hodgepodge. So we'll see what everybody out there is saying. Todd in Littleton's been hanging for a while, so let's chat with Todd a little bit. Todd, thanks a lot for calling KNRC. How are you today?
Hey, Bill. Hey, I just wanted to know why we even believe anything our CIA says now. Because once they were that far off with no weapons of mass destruction, I mean, then at that point, I think, Bill, you're just as good of a candidate as they are. Maybe better.
Well, yeah. See, there are parts of it that you look at the CIA and you kind of have to look through it. And the way that I look at it now is through a filter. And the CIA at the time, there are some times they were overestimating the amount of weapons of mass destruction that he had.
When will they ever write? Okay, look at Bay of Pigs. Completely off, right? Now,
go to the
Reagan administration. They overestimated the Soviet economic engine by 300%.
Yeah.
That's like me saying, well, Bill, you can run at the speed of light. Everybody goes, no, Bill can't run the speed of light. He's a fast guy, but he can't run the speed of light. Oh, yes, I'm the CIA. Well, then, weapons of mass destruction. Let's lose 1,000 boys. And seriously, this war is going to be like Vietnam. And here's why. After 10 years, we're going to have 50,000 casualties, and we're finally going to pull out and say goodbye to this thing.
See, I think we may. I don't think it'll be quite that bad. What I think we'll do, though, is 10 years from now, we'll still have bases, and what will be happening, though, is that we'll be in an insurgency in a different kind, that I think Iraq, whatever form Iraq may take, will be okay, but the problem is that we'll still have tension between U.S. bases and, you know, Iraqi governing council, the Iraqi leadership, because, one, the U.S. will still be there, and, two, that everybody forgets this, that when we put bases in other countries, the one caveat is that those U.S. soldiers are never held to the local laws. So they can go out and do what they need to, and they're never held. I mean, basically, they go out on leave, get drunk, and run over a kid, and they're never tried inside of Iraq.
Well,
so
right,
it creates a whole other problem.
They're justice. Did you hear that thunderclap?
Yeah,
There's a real great one.
Jeez.
Right in Littleton. No, it was beautiful. It was just wonderful. I actually saw it come right out of the ground.
Oh, man.
But, I come back. Anytime they use the CIA, I'm kind of like a Muslim. Now, if they say, we know bin Laden was behind 9/11, I don't necessarily believe that anymore. I'm like, I mean, you guys might be guessing, and my evidence would be the same as every Muslim. You guys were so off. You attacked a country. You're in a mess in Iraq, and you guys cannot produce one weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, that is, and that's one of the ones. And the thing is, when I look at the CIA and some of what they were saying, the CIA said that he should have had or at least what the CIA was saying is not that he had, well, they expected that he had large piles of weapons, but more that he hadn't destroyed them. And that's the weird thing that we get into the weapons of mass destruction. When I look at the actual arguments that everybody has, the issue comes down to, well, Saddam never showed us they were destroyed, so that they must exist.
Well, hold it. He did in a way. Hans Blick went to 700 sites.
Yeah.
And I absolutely found nothing. And after 700, he realized our information is awfully, he uses the term soft. What I like to use the term is, we're liars.
Well, you look at David Kay. I mean, David Kay himself, you know, was Bush's weapons inspector that was running around the country for a while. He basically said that there was no sign that as of, I think it was 97, that Iraq had been doing anything to ramp up their weapons programs. That as of 98, it was pretty much dead.
Well,
that they weren't doing anything at all.
That, and for him to say that, you realize they got his arm twisted in a vice to find a fungus that looks like anthrax.
Yeah, and so what do we do, though, if the CIA, so I believe the CIA a little bit more. I think we have to filter it, but what do you think? Where do we go from here?
Here's what we really do, and I consider this because Hoover created the FBI. Honest to gosh, if you don't know what you're doing wrong, you got to get rid of it. And I truly mean this. I say get rid of the FBI, get rid of the CIA, and start anew, because you can't be any worse.
Yeah, you may not be able to be pretty.
You really can't. And guess what? The people that are in there, I mean, the people that were on Hoover's side, you know, the people that looked the other way for Randy Weaver and all that, now they were on the FBI, but they all stood up and got behind that. You never saw one FBI agent or CIA agent get up and stop and try to prevent any innocent American from being killed. So, you know, I'm saying they're all bad. They're you know, I truly feel that about the Republican Party, to be honest. I think, as if you remember right, when they went into Watergate, they found the corruption, the deceit, the lying. It went to the grassroots of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And I believe it does now. I think if you go to, well, okay, the Southern Baptist is one of the strong voting conventions for the Republicans. You know why they're Southern Baptist? Because in 1948 they broke off of slavery. See, so honest to God,
I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, that's why there's a Southern Baptist and a Black Baptist. If you meet a Baptist, he's a black guy. He lives up north. He was a freed slave.
Yeah.
Well, they broke up because, well, you know, yeah, Jesus loves us all, but Jesus really wants me to own you.
Yeah, that's okay. I got the memo. Hey, Todd, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. I don't know if I would discount and maybe disband the FBI or the CIA, but you make some interesting arguments. I think that there is some tact to the CIA. There is some life still left in them, but it is a question. There's information that they throw out there, and that's one of the problems now. You're absolutely right that when they throw out the information, the Arab world and most of the rest of the international world is going to look at it and go, eek, you guys screwed up so badly on the last one. How can we right this ship? Because some of the information they've been saying, some of the stuff that the CIA has been saying has been proven to be true about Iraq, like no terrorists in the country and a few of the others, but some of the other things they've had, like the weapons of mass destruction, have been completely and totally false. So what do we do? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I'm going to squeeze in Roger real quick before we get to the news with Tim McLaughlin. Roger, thanks for calling KNRC. How are you doing today?
Oh, great. And by the way, I wanted to say thanks for those Bill Maher tickets. They were awesome.
Oh, great. You enjoyed the show. Fantastic.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Oh, great.
Hey, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. We know there's going to be a lot of people saying there was some kind of nebulous links between Iraq and Osama.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's think back. Let's think of one country that not only had links with Osama and Saddam, but gave them money, gave them weapons, looked the other way when they committed atrocities.
I think I'm kind of familiar with that country. I have a feeling that you're talking about the home country right here, so the Stars and Stripes.
And not only that, but let's look at who we're propping up now. Let's look at the guy in Pakistan.
Yeah.
That Pakistan's not a free country by any means. Let's look at the guy that we were thinking about putting in place in Iraq, who turns out was selling our secrets to Iran.
Yep. And he was dirty to begin with. I mean, we knew he was a con man, but he also was, you know, when the ramp up to Iraq, he kept producing these weapons inspectors and kept producing people that had worked on the programs, and they never did such things. When we actually went in and checked the backgrounds, these people never worked where they said they did, and they didn't have access to the weapon systems that they were told they had access to.
But this country is going to keep going down the same road time and again until we figure out that just because the guy's doing our dirty work, we can support him. That's wrong.
Yeah, it is. And do you think there's
same thing again.
Now, Roger, do you think there's any light at the end of the tunnel? Do you think that maybe after this one that, you know, we've had enough political discourse about this, talking about, okay, we supported the bad guy Saddam, we've supported the bad guy Osama. Do you think that there's any hope that we will right our ship and maybe get our moral compass a little bit more in shape?
Not as long as corporations decide where they want us to go and what wars they want us to fight.
That's what I'm afraid of, too. It's the influence, and the people that have a lot of the money have a lot of the influence, and that's what I'm worried about, because I don't always trust them to make the right decisions. And Rogers, appreciate the phone call, and thanks a lot for going to Bill Maher and giving us a report back. I've got another phone call, Bob, on a cell phone, also Steve hanging on the board, but you can get in on the line, too, 303-382-1150. Do you think that I am full of crap? Do you think that there absolutely is this connection between Saddam and Iraq, and that's why we're fighting this war on terror? We can't say that it's about September 11th anymore, so let's talk about why. We are justifying the war. What is the justification for walking into Iraq right now? What is the reason that we have to be there? We keep eroding the reasons we walked in. That doesn't help us. Doesn't help our international standing. We need that because, well, the international standing, those are why the people trade with us. That's why they invest in this country. That's why they actually let us use parts of their country to go and bomb other people, is because they trust us. So have we eroded that type of a trust? I'd be curious to see what you think. 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AIM 1150. KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
And now to talk to the man who swears that he's hiding no weapons of mass destruction, even in the pockets of his pants.
That's right.
That is, yes, Tim McLaughlin. No, that is not a weapon of mass destruction. I'm just happy to see you.
Of course, if I take my shoes off, that yes. might be a different story.
I've heard about that. People are saying, oh, Tim, it's just, But I didn't want to embarrass you like that publicly on the air.
Oh, well, yeah. What the heck? I've embarrassed myself enough these years.
Well, so. I just figured by talking to me, it's probably embarrassment enough for you. Well, what's going on in the news?
All right, it's rainy and 55 degrees right now. Police are investigating an apparent homicide in Englewood. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Southbound I-25 south of Thornton Parkway. Watch for an accident, that one just being reported to us. Also an injury accident at Highlands Ranch Parkway and South Desert Willow Road in Highlands Ranch. Emergency equipment on the scene there. 58th and Wadsworth, watch for another minor collision. Should have that one out of the way in just a few minutes. Freeways and city streets, very, very wet now. Lots of backsplash becoming a possibility. So slow down, allow a little extra space between you and the car in front. Allow a little extra time to get to where you're trying to go. Castrol GTX with the information. It's engineered for cars with more than 75,000 miles. Protects against oil burn-off better than other leading motor oils, so give your car Castrol GTX high mileage. It helps older cars feel young again. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Police are searching for clues in the death of a woman whose body was found on the railroad tracks in Englewood last night. The woman's identity and cause of death are still unknown, although investigators are treating it as a homicide. They say it appears the woman's body was dragged to the railroad tracks. This report brought to you by AutoZone. Federal investigators say a six-state drug ring laundered money through a Littleton liquor store and through the purchase of real estate in Aurora. Investigators say the ring sold speed, cocaine, and marijuana, then wired the proceeds through Western Union. 15 people were listed in the federal indictment. Prosecutors aren't saying yet if any arrests have been made. A quick resignation yesterday for a woman who has been an interim associate vice president at Metro State College in Denver. The student government vice president was doing a background check on six interim administrators and found that Joanna Duenas did not have the degree she claimed. She'd been at the school since March and was drawing a $72,000 a year salary. Early bird special at AutoZone. Hurry this Saturday only from 6 to 10 a.m. Save 20% on Duralast truck toolboxes and Coleman 18-volt power tools. Hurry in while supplies last, only at AutoZone. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 1:39.
Lock us in on your first preset. AM 1150. KNRC. KNRC. The way Denver spells talk radio. KNRC. KNRC.
What is all this?
We're trying to beef up our advertising for the Mile High Suburban Buy. Decided to give these Gregorian monks a try.
What's the Mile High Suburban Buy?
It's the newest way to sell your car. It's all the rage.
I can hear that.
See, we offer sellers access to over 500,000 readers in 19 Suburban newspapers. You know, the ones you actually read.
Gotcha. How much are you charging?
$29.99.
They're really taking this seriously.
Yeah, we all are. There are a lot of ways to sell your car. And we want to be the best. We've put together a crack team of classified employees who'll help you craft your message and make your ad work for you. We're serious about helping real people in real communities sell their cars fast for less.
Sounds great. I've got a car I'd like to sell.
Just call Community Classifieds at 303-279-5541. That's 303-279-5541. 303-279-5541. Okay, he gets it.
Sorry. Call Community Classifieds today, 303-279-5541.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast. Mostly cloudy, rainy, scattered thunderstorms through the afternoon. The National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning for the Hammond Burn area in northwestern Teller County and southwestern Douglas County. Mostly cloudy skies through the evening hours. Thunderstorms likely too. Then a chance of some showers after midnight. Around 50 degrees for the overnight low. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Chance of some thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon. We should top out near 70. Rainy and 55 now. KNRC News Time is 1:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Enid Goldstein,
KNRC.
We have to talk.
Hi,
I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live and work together every day, so I have to look at Judy's face a lot.
You don't think I get a little sick of your puss? That's why we leave the care of our faces to the wonderful staff of Denver Skin Aesthetics.
Their experienced nurses and medical estheticians are supervised by board-certified plastic surgeons. They provide full skin care services, and unlike spas and salons, they can medically evaluate and treat everything from acne to wrinkles and age spots.
How about injectables? Denver Skin Aesthetics offers Botox and the newest in cosmetic facial fillers, collagen, Restylane, and Radiance. Buy a unit of one of these fillers, and they will store any leftovers for future touch-ups for free.
Mention Style Matters Live and KNRC, and Denver Skin Aesthetics will give you 10% off your first filler and 20% off your first Botox treatment.
You lucky listener, you. Call Denver Skin Aesthetics today at 303-830-7200. That's 303-830-7200.
Denver Skin Aesthetics, making you a better you. Why wait any longer to look better?
I'm Eric Stone with the latest from the 104th U.S. Open. This update brought to you by The Ridge at Castle Pines North, your country club for a day. Shigeki Moriyama and 50-year-old Jay Haas topped the leaderboard in round one at Shinnecock Hills on Long Island. Both are in the clubhouse at 4-under-66. Meanwhile, there's a logjam of golfers 2 strokes back at 2-under, including David Roche and defending British Open champ Ben Curtis. Sergio Garcia and Tiger Woods both shot 72, winding up at 2-over, while Masters champion Phil Mickelson is on the course as we speak, checking in at 1-under through 8 holes. David Duval shot an 83 and was 13-over par. Call the Ridge at Castle Pines North and set up a tee time at 303-688-4301, and you'll get 20% off if you tell them you heard this on KNRC. I'm Eric Stone with your U.S. Open golf update.
More talk time than any other Denver talk radio station. More talk, less clutter. Now, here's Enid Goldstein.
Sean McKenzie, thank you very much. 144 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Old Iron Maiden there, just what we were talking about, running to the hills. That's where Enid Goldstein is headed off to today. She and Joe Anderson are running up to the hills of Aspen. They're going to be bringing you the Aspen Food and Wine Festival live tomorrow between noon and 3. And then Enid will drop in for a couple of minutes each hour on Jim Conder's Food Talk Show from noon until 2 on Saturday here on KNRC. So you can check in and see what's happening with all of the food types up in Aspen. And this is really like a rish-rish, little shishi little event up there. They, you know, all these people coming up there. And everybody from the Food Network and all the Wolfgang Puck and all the other people with the funny names that are the fancy chefs on the TV that make things you and I could never even pronounce. And so, you know, they're making like fancy falafel breakfast and stuff. And I can't do that at all. So I always get frustrated every time I watch those cooking shows. It makes me feel so incompetent. So I always have a rough time watching those. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. 303-382-1150. We had a couple people on the phone line, but yeah, they dropped off during the break. I know it's a lot to ask for you to stay on hold during the break, especially on your cell phone. If you can, give us a ring back. 303-382-1150. We're talking about the September 11th commission and the connection that does not exist between Iraq, Al-Qaeda, and September 11th. Now, there are some casual conversations that take place between Iraq and Al-Qaeda before September 11th, and you know, basically they're talking about things, but Iraq basically rebuffs Al-Qaeda's suggestions that they set up training camps and talk together about sharing weapons technology and other such instances. Iraq simply goes off and tells them to pound sand and tells bin Laden that, no, we're not going to be doing this in any way, shape, or form. And the other thing that also turned up, strangely enough, inside of the September 11th report is the type of, real terrorism that Saddam Hussein has been involved with. It's all socialist. It's all very, very left-wing type of terrorism, Marxism. It's that type of terrorism that he's really been involved with, other than just a passing interest, that he wasn't funding anybody that is fundamentalist like Al-Qaeda. That's one of the arguments that I've been making, is that Al-Qaeda sits on one end of the fundamentalist spectrum, and Saddam sits on the other end of the nationalist spectrum. Saddam's much closer to socialist, and Al-Qaeda's much closer to fascism, is much closer. But, you know, then when we talk about, you know, issues contained therein, but today President Bush says that there absolutely was a relationship between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. Even though the September 11th commission, the independent commission that has Republicans and Democrats on it, says, no, there's no connection. Well, Bush says, well, we're going to insist that there is one, which is not surprising, because given insistences and how it was phrased before the war, remember, what percentage of Americans thought that Iraq had been responsible, either in total or in part, for the September 11th attacks? when we were going to war, 70% of Americans thought that Iraq had been responsible, at least in part or in total, for the September 11th attacks. And nearly 50% of the responders actually said the majority of the hijackers were Iraqis. How did that happen? Well, was it the vast left-wing media? Was it a conspiracy by the left-wing media that basically got together and said, hey, this is what we're doing and we're going to sell this to the American public? Why would the left-wing media sell that to the American public? Did the left-wing media want us to walk into Iraq and invade? Was that their role? Well, unfortunately, the role of the watchdogs, the members of the Fourth Estate, was to debunk some of the theories that were being thrown out by the administration. That has traditionally been the role of the Fourth Estate, to take whatever comes out of Capitol Hill or what comes out of the judiciary. You know, you're looking at the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary branches, and you're looking at those three branches, and the Fourth Estate is supposed to vet anything that comes out and basically be a, well, we'll say a BS detector. Every time something that they think is false comes out, they should have alarms going off, going boop, 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 and they should be investigating some of this stuff. But this vast left-wing media, this media that controls everything that we think and say and hear inside of this country, somehow gave the American people the impression that Iraq was either in total or in part of September 11th. And that 50% of us actually thought that a majority of the hijackers were Iraqis. Was that the media inventing this? Or was it the impression that we were given, the media being lazy, and then the impression being given from the White House? I think it was the impression being given from the White House. What do you think? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. Remember, there were a number of times in which, and we've got a couple of calls coming in. I'll get to you guys in just a second here. Remember, in the 2003 State of the Union Address, Bush claimed that, quote, evidence from intelligence sources, secret communications, and statements by people now in custody reveal that Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda. Really? Are we certain about that one? And how much? So we look at that, and so, well, let's talk about that a little bit. We're going to jump to the phones right now and talk to Tony in Denver. Tony called AM 1150 KNRC. Tony, how are you doing?
Hey, very good, Bill.
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, it's kind of an analogy. It was a movie I saw called 13 Days. Are you familiar with that?
Actually, no, I haven't. I know the movie, but no, I have not seen it yet.
Okay, well, it was about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a similar situation where there was disbelief on our part that, you know, there was anything going on there.
Yeah.
And we had to prove that. And there was a scene in the United Nations where, you know, nobody believed us, and that proof had to go.
Yeah.
And so they went to extreme measures, you know, to get this proof. And then they brought it in, and it was indisputable.
Yeah. He brought pictures in and showed people, and yeah.
Right. Now, I expected to see that this time when Colin Powell,
yeah,
you know, went in. And it didn't happen. You know, it was so lame.
Yeah, he had pieces of it. He even had a little tiny vial that he brought as a visual aid. But he kept pointing to, saying, this is where it is. This is where these things we think are. But, yeah, it wasn't the same kind of pictures that JFK had.
Right. It wasn't nearly as strong. The case wasn't strong. And that's when they lost me. That's when I decided to start looking for answers, because I was a little skeptical anyway why they were leaving Afghanistan and going, you know, to Iraq. And so I thought, well, this time they're going to show us some proof and why. And it just didn't happen. And so, you know, I started to look the other way and try to see what was really going on.
Now, the funny thing is, now, Tony, I was always skeptical as well. I looked at it and thought that, you know, this was almost not really the right idea because of, you know, going into Saddam. There were all sorts of reasons that I looked at this and questioned, okay, is this the direction that we need to be going right now? And I questioned leaving Afghanistan like you have. Now, looking at this, how do you think that the American people prior to the war, I mean, 70% of them, thought that Iraq was either in total or part responsible for September 11th, and a near majority of Americans thought that the hijackers were Iraqi. How does that happen?
Well, to me, they made a very good link over the airwaves and the papers. And if you were listening to other things, you know, you had to go elsewhere to get your information.
Yeah.
And if you did that, you started to not trust all the things you were believing. And I remember this was early on, too. One of the morning shows, and I can't remember which group of people it was, but they were like cheerleaders for these soldiers going into this war. And I had a bad feeling right then, you know, because everybody knows, no matter what, when you go into a war, you know, there's going to be death and there's going to be so many problems. And it disturbed me very much at that time, but that was going on, and heavily. It was like this big propaganda machine. at work. And I think it did work, to be honest.
And that was one of the things that, you know, when everybody talks about the liberal media and everything else, I keep sitting there going, you know, the media, 9 times out of 10, feeds us, you know, more or less what we want to hear and what we like to hear, because remember the vast liberal media, when we were going to war, all started saying that it was a good idea. All of a sudden, everybody fell into line and everybody had their embedded journalists, and you stopped hearing questions. And I think it's proven that the media in this country rolled over and did not do their due diligence. It did not look into some of the claims of weapons of mass destruction and some of the claims of connections with Iraq and Al-Qaeda, because we simply didn't find them. They were there. I mean, they could sit there and do a simple search and find out that some of the weapons, you know, when we talked about the nuclear material, the yellow cake coming from Africa, that was fairly loose, that it really was not as strong as we were led to believe through Mr. Bush and Mr. Powell. But nobody was doing that work. And only now, I mean, when the New York Times, again, that is a paper whose reputation has been tarnished tremendously over the last year, but even then, the New York Times has come out and said, hey, guys, we screwed up. They're one of the only papers to do it so far. But they've said, yeah, we rushed and supported the war, and we didn't actually fact check some of the stuff we were doing. And you look at that and go, man, one, I can't see where we have a liberal media. Two, I look at this and say, I mean, Tony, are we all sheep? I mean, is that what we're all looking at, is that we're just a bunch of sheep?
I think that's maybe my biggest, my most troubling thing right now.
Yeah.
Is, okay, there were you know, a few of us that were skeptical to start. Well, maybe more than that. But, you know, people behind this country got behind this country, and we went on in.
Yeah.
And there may be some good things that come out of this
for
the Iraqi people, but for this country, it just seems disastrous from the guys that have been lost there, to the money spent, to who knows what's going to happen down the road.
Yeah.
But there's still people that are so actively believing, no matter what the news that comes out, that, you know, everything was true, that we should have been there, that it was connected, and I don't know how you sway those people.
Yeah, I don't know if you can either. Hey, Tony, thanks a lot for the phone call. I'm running late for a break. I'll be back and take more phone calls, 303-382-1150. Louise, hang right there. I'll be with you in just a second. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Need a break from all the breaks on the other talk stations?
Listen.
Hear better talk and more of it.
Talk, speak, conversation.
On AM 1150 KNRC.
Tired of high gas prices? Get a free $10 gas card. Register for the Denver Regional Council of Governments Carpool Plus program at carpoolplus.org.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live on Saturday mornings. Colorado Mills aficionados like us know how to navigate Colorado Mills Mall. Here's our tips.
When shopping for high style at low prices, we park by Neiman Marcus Last Call and enter door 2. From there, we cover the whole fashion district.
On the days I'm schlepping my teenagers, I park by Eddie Bauer, enter door 4, and shop at V Generation and 303 Boards.
When Mr. Style Matters needs a treat, I park at Borders. Enter door 1 and shop at Perry Ellis, St. Croix, and Brooks Brothers factory stores.
With our families, we park by Jillian's, a huge entertainment center and restaurant, wander down the street and dine at California Pizza Kitchen or Yard House, then catch a movie at United Artists Theaters or watch the kids at ESPN Skate Park.
Colorado Mills is easy to get to. Just 15 minutes from downtown off 6th and Indiana.
Or 25 minutes from the south on C-470 and 20 minutes from the foothills on I-70.
Check out ColoradoMills.com for store hours and great deals.
Colorado Mills, where great shopping lives.
Next, I need something for my feet.
Yeah, I caught a whiff.
Fred, to the front. We got a guy here with smelly feet. Bring the good stuff. The Dr. Scholl's.
Thanks a lot.
Whoa, you must be the smelly feet guy. Here.
Dr. Scholl's deodorant foot powder?
Oh, yeah, it works immediately and lasts all day.
What about that gold?
Look, I've been in your shoes. Well, thankfully not your shoes. Dr. Scholl's is better. It has more odor-destroying power than that Gold Bond foot powder.
I'll take it.
He's taking the Dr. Scholl's, folks.
Dr. Scholl's foot powder. Get the odor out now.
This is Ben Gay Patch Radio with Summer Fun and Games.
We've been camping, horseback riding, and hiking. Bill and the kids love it. My hamstrings don't. Sure glad I packed the Ben-Gay patch.
Achy muscles, painful joints? The Ben-Gay patch puts deep, penetrating Ben-Gay heat right where you hurt and lasts up to 8 hours. You're more mobile, more flexible.
Today, canoeing. Tomorrow, the patch.
The Ben-Gay patch. It's what's hot in pain relief. Use as directed.
It's the moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Truth is, doctors nationwide choose the medicine in Advil most for muscle pain, strains, and sprains. For better relief, advance to Advil.
To win at anything, you have to be smart.
Long-term responsibility.
You have to be strong. And you have to be prepared.
The United States of America.
When it comes to the coverage of Decision 2004, no station is smarter or better prepared to cover from all sides.
Ongoing operations in Iraq. The connected and the elected.
Your source for Kerry versus Bush. AM 1150, KNRC.
The American people will be deciding this election.
This summer, keep your radio into the summertime fun talk and information station. We have the best talk in town. Traffic, weather coverage, and the best coverage of the political conventions. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
303-382-1150 is the phone number. 157, I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. If you're due somewhere at 2 o'clock, about 2.5 minutes. I've got only about 2 minutes left with you. We'll get to the calls after the top of the hour. Just don't have enough time to sit down, and I don't think we're going to be able to discuss things with you. Louise in Denver, hang on if you can through the news. I know that if you can't, that's okay. And same thing, Steve, hang out there if you can't. After the top of the hour, don't worry. We'll also get to more of your phone calls. I saw something with Bill O'Reilly. Now, normally, you know, I don't always agree with O'Reilly, but I do think he's a good thinker, and I always take time to listen to him when I can, either on the radio or looking at the O'Reilly factor, because I do like the way that his mind works. But unfortunately, I saw something that he had a tirade on his TV program, and it really kind of, I looked at it and went, eek. It was his talking points memo on the show, and I think it was in the last 24 to 48 hours, and he actually was talking about the Iraq, Saddam, 9/11 issue. And he said, quote, "We did the world a favor by removing a brutal dictator and giving millions of people a chance for freedom in Iraq, and now we're paying a huge price." Okay, I can see that. We did do a favor because we removed a brutal dictator. I can see that. He actually then goes on to call the Iraqis morons because they're celebrating the murder of some of the American people. And then he says, quote, "that the truth is that we're waging an aggressive war against terrorism, and it's a must. We have to do it. Maybe Iraq is the wrong battlefield, but our intentions are honorable." And that's when he stopped me. I looked at that and went, were they? What were our intentions when we started out? Our intentions were Saddam was a bad guy. He has the weapons. He's going to give them to terrorists, so we have to knock him off. Those weren't necessarily honorable intentions. We did not walk in there giving freedom to the Iraqi people. Then, unfortunately, Bill goes on to talk about Abu al-Zarqawi and the Al-Qaeda leader who did flee to Iraq and got medical attention there. And then he says somebody's got to alert Al Gore to that connection. Connection? It's one guy. One guy in Iraq is a connection to a terrorist organization? Come on. You wouldn't think that if a guy came over to your house, borrowed your phone for a little bit, maybe went to the bathroom in your restroom, you turn around and say, yeah, now you're connected to organized crime? Come on. Give me a little bit more than this. What's your argument? 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe, in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. Members of the special commission looking into the 9/11 attacks are reliving that terrifying day, working to figure out exactly what happened. Members heard audio tapes of air traffic controllers and air defense personnel trying to track one of the hijacked planes over Pennsylvania.
Go ahead.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land? Because we have confirmation.
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes.
That flight crashed into the ground. Some officials who testified before the 9/11 panel today say no one in government expected hijackers would turn commercial planes into missiles. Panel members say there was complete confusion over who was doing what as the attacks were taking place. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says the CIA requested he order a suspected terrorist to be held secretly in Iraq. The Red Cross wasn't told, which critics say is a violation of the Geneva Accords. Rumsfeld says the prisoner is being treated humanely. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
Centuries ago, from the darkest ages, came a legend of a great king, Arthur, and his loyal circle of knights. But did the greatest king who ever lived, ever live? Journey over the Highlands and enter the deepest region of England to discover the life behind the legend. Quest for King Arthur, as only the History Channel can bring you. This Sunday night at 9, 8 Central. Slay the myth.
Don't miss the JCPenney lowest prices of the season sale just in time for Father's Day with our lowest prices throughout the store. Saturday, shop early for fantastic doorbusters 9 a.m. till 1, like a colorful selection of St. John's Bay polos for Dad, only $9.99. Plus, great buy one, get one for just a dollar specials all day. Don't forget Dad on Sunday and hurry in to the JCPenney lowest prices of the season sale. It all starts Saturday at 9 a.m.
It's all inside.
JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends June 24th.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for Journalistic Excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, some scattered showers, 54 degrees now. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. An apparent homicide is being investigated in Englewood. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check the roads with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Southbound I-25, rather heavy this afternoon from Moole, about 104th Avenue on down toward Thornton Parkway. That because of an accident. Once they get that out of the way, everything will flow along in pretty decent shape. 58th and Wadsworth, a report of an accident. Wet roads around town now. Lots of splashbacks, so allow yourself a little extra room between you and the car in front, and allow a little extra time to get to wherever it is you're trying to go. Post News Marketplace with the information. If you're trying to sell your car, place an auto classified ad in Post News Marketplace. We'll run it online until it sells, guaranteed. Call 825-2525. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
A railroad conductor spotted a woman's body on the railroad tracks in Englewood last night. Englewood Police Detective Perry Shellpfeffer says it appears the woman's death was due to foul play.
It appears as though she was murdered at some other location. There were drag marks showing that the body had been dragged onto the tracks.
Investigators don't yet know the identity of the woman or exactly how she died. This report brought to you by Albertsons. Just getting to a fire is often more dangerous than actually fighting one. According to a recently released study by the National Fire Protection Association, firefighters are more likely to die traveling to or from a fire, and that cars are a greater hazard than flames. Relief is coming to Colorado ranchers, and not just in the form of rain. A bill designed to help ranchers through a prolonged drought passed the U.S. House today. The bill is sponsored by Colorado Republican Representative Scott McInnes, who says the House approval is a major step in providing relief to drought-impacted ranchers in the West. If signed into law, the bill would give ranchers up to 4 years to replenish any livestock lost due to drought before having to pay taxes on that livestock. In sports, the Colorado Rockies are wrapping up their three-game homestand against the Boston Red Sox this afternoon. Right now we're in the top of the fourth. Boston is leading 2-0. It's time to stock up and save this week at your neighborhood Albertsons. Pick up assorted varieties of 7-Up 12-packs. Get 5 packs for $10. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:04.
You wanted live, local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live, and you know we shop every chance we get.
Yeah, but in your stiletto heels, you keep slowing me down. That's why we shop at Aspen Grove. You can park directly in front of your favorite stores and walk right in.
No more walking long distances back and forth from the stores carrying heavy shopping bags, something we've been known to do.
Or driving through the parking lot praying for a spot. Spend more time shopping at Aspen Grove in Littleton, a beautiful open-air shopping center with some of the best national specialty shops, many that are exclusive to Southeast Metro Denver, such as Gap Body and Coldwater Creek with its casual chic clothing.
Don't forget Pottery Barn and White House Black Market, the only one in Colorado.
And the great Aspen Grove restaurants. I love the buffalo at Ted's Montana Grill.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays, 10 to 9, and Sundays, 11 to 6. 303-794-0640. That's 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Isolated thunderstorms, some with heavy rain, will move in off the foothills, keeping us at risk for severe weather through the afternoon. 58 for the high. Showers this evening with a low of 46. Showers and 58 again tomorrow. Some thunderstorms, a little more sunshine, though, on Saturday with a high of 63. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy and 54 degrees now. The National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning for the Hayman Burn area in northwestern Teller County and southwestern Douglas County. There's also a tornado watch in effect for a number of counties around Colorado, including Douglas County. KNRC News Time is 2:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
6 minutes after two here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein because Enid and Joe right now are in the car. They are headed up the mountain. They're going to Aspen. I'm a little jealous. Well, they're going for the Aspen Food and Wine Festival, which I think would be cool because I'd get to eat a lot of food with names I can't pronounce. Stuff that is made with ingredients that I probably don't want to know what it is, but I'm sure it tastes delicious, and I'll be free, so the tasting. So they're headed up there. There's a very special press party tonight. There are actually two of them they're going to go and schmooze at tonight, and then they're going to turn around and give you a live broadcast with all sorts of food luminaries tomorrow. People on wine, people on different food and cooking techniques, and some people you even catch on the Food Network. Maybe you've even bought some of these recipes and some of the people's books from them. I'd tell you who they are, but they've, again, they got those foreign names, and I can't butcher them. I don't know who they are, so how do I know? So basically, that'll be on from noon until 3 tomorrow. She'll also do special reports during Jim Conder's Food Talk between noon and 2, but it'll be great for listen to Enid regularly. Listen tomorrow, noon until 3. She's going to have all sorts of food luminaries on. They're going to talk wines. They're going to talk foods, what's coming up. You know, what are the trends as far as foods and the really rich type foods and what are you going to see in the holiday season? So it'll be a lot of fun. So, but today we're talking 303-382-1150 and we're chatting with you about, well, the September 11th Commission report that basically said there was no credible evidence that there was a link between Iraq, Al-Qaeda and September 11th. And there are nothing more than real tenuous connections between Iraq and Al-Qaeda together working in collaboration towards forming a larger terrorist network, that simply didn't occur. And then George Bush comes up this morning and says, yes, there is a connection, a long connection, and a whole bunch of other things. So tell you what, I want to get your thoughts about that. And there's also a poll that has been done. We'll get to that here in a little bit. A poll that was done by the Coalition Provisional Authority. That's important because that's the guys that, you know, we're in charge there. That's us. We actually did a whole bunch of interviews over the last month, face-to-face interviews with Iraqis. And the reason they're face-to-face interviews is also important because it isn't like a bunch of telemarketers who are just calling up and asking the people that, you know, are just too bored or need somebody to talk with and they do the market research. They're going face-to-face to find these people and to talk to them. And these are our guys, the Coalition Provisional Authority, trying to figure out what the Iraqis think about us and think about what is going on as far as turning over governmental responsibilities and just their opinions about how so far the deposing of Saddam Hussein has gone. And there's some very interesting numbers. We'll get to those in a little bit. But right now we're going to jump back to the phone calls. Christopher's on a cell phone. We'll talk to him. He called 303-382-1150, just like you can. Christopher, how are you doing today?
Pretty good, Bill. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Well, what's on your mind about Saddam, September 11th, Al-Qaeda, war on terror? We can go wherever you want.
Well, you said earlier about that there's only, you said that one person couldn't be a connection?
Yeah.
Well, that's how a terrorist organization would work. That's how, and you mentioned the mafia. That's how they would work. They would send in one person. They wouldn't bring in a big band and like a whole group of people and say, hey, we want you to get with us. They'd send one little guy in and say, hey, this is what we want, and yada, 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 and talk about it.
Yeah, but they did that, though. They did that, and Iraq said, no thanks, and rebuffed them. And then the people, this is why I keep saying that one person not being a connection for them being involved in Al-Qaeda is they show that al-Zarqawi comes into Iraq, receives medical attention, hangs out in Baghdad for a while, and takes off. There's nothing else that shows any other connection between Al-Qaeda and Saddam. And so
I agree with that. I'm just saying that's how they would work, though. You know, they wouldn't send in a whole bunch of people saying, hey, we want you to work with us. They'd send in one guy.
Yeah, a little bit, but I think that the one guy then leads to more meetings and leads to more connections, and then you draw the line. And so the idea is, I guess I disagree with the point that because al-Zarqawi is in Baghdad at some point, that then all of a sudden that says that al-Qaeda is working with him. I understand your point, but I just don't think that we can take, you know, logically that row of logic that takes us down the road that says, well, Saddam must be working with al-Qaeda, simply doesn't exist based on the fact that this guy only got medical attention in Baghdad and did not much else.
Oh, I agree with you on that. I do, because, like, you know, hey, whatever. Whatever the media tells you and whatever the government tells you isn't going to be the truth anyway. You know, and none of it's the truth because they can't let you everybody know all the truth.
Yeah.
If they do, we're opening ourselves up to like more attack, more, you know, we're just opening ourselves up.
Yeah, but don't you think that, you know, at least some amount of the truth is important? Because that's one of the things that I worry about is the fact that if the government doesn't trust us with at least most of the truth, then what the hell are we doing? I mean, I keep looking at that going, you know, if we're not trusted with at least some of the truth, doesn't that speak a lot about our society and basically that we have this illusion of freedom then if we're not allowed to know a lot of the truth?
Yeah, actually, you're right. Well, there is an illusion of freedom. We don't have as much as everybody says or thinks we do.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it seems to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think it was last week in Denver, or we Denver and Colorado have legalized marijuana, right?
Yeah, medical marijuana, yep.
But the federal government doesn't follow that law. They don't care.
Yeah.
They took some guy who had legal papers, legal documents, everything, and they didn't care that he had that, and they just took it and destroyed his business that he runs for legal marijuana and medical patients.
Yeah, and they broke that down. I understand that as far as, you know, and what our freedoms are, and the other thing that I keep coming back to, this illusion of freedom, and there are portions of the Patriot Act that are okay with me. There are other portions that I think are just completely and totally wrong, but when we talk about the illusion of freedom, one of the things we can't forget is that there was a lawyer in Oregon, I believe, who had spent months inside of a prison cell because the government screwed up the fingerprints. They got a fingerprint, they thought it was a match to him, rounded him up as a terrorist, threw him in jail for months, didn't allow him to see a lawyer, and then a number of months later went, "Ooh, sorry, that really wasn't a match. We screwed up. Here you go. Let you out." But the whole time, the guy's sitting in jail the whole time and doesn't get to talk to a lawyer, doesn't get charged with anything, doesn't get to see anybody. He's basically a terrorist.
Wow, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, it's a search. Go into Google and search Oregon lawyer terrorism. It should come up. I think it was released sometime in the last 3 weeks. And basically because they screwed up the fingerprints. And I look at that going, man, if the government that is responsible for prosecuting the terrorism screws up the fingerprints, I look at that and go, "Yeek! Is this really the amount of information and rights that we want to give up?" I'm not so certain I want to give up a lot of these freedoms that we have. Maybe if it's a little harder to prosecute some of the terrorists, maybe some of us that have bad fingerprint matches won't go to jail as much. But I don't know. It's a weird dichotomy between the two of them, Christopher.
I understand that, Bill.
Take care, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. 303-382-1150. Let's keep rolling with the phone calls. Go to John in Denver real quickly on KNRC. John, thanks for calling. How are you doing today?
Hey, man. I'm doing good.
Good. What's up?
I'm loving this rain. So.
Oh, I know. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. It is heavenly. So,
yep. I don't know if I'd move to Seattle, but for a couple of days out of the week, you know, I'd take it all the time.
You betcha. I agree.
So what's on your mind about, Iraq, Saddam?
Well, it amazes me, that people, that don't believe and never have believed this charade, this lie about Iraq, that it's just a bunch of vomit they spewed to get this money pit opened up for them. So you and I don't believe that. We're on the same page there. But people are still believing this trash that Bush is feeding about Osama bin Laden. He was going to bomb Afghanistan before 9/11. He admitted that to the press even. And it's like Osama said, at least this is the BBC interview that I read, that the neo-Nazi PNAC group has since had removed from the Internet, that Osama said, "No, that is not even me in that picture. I did not have anything to do with 9/11. Well, I mean, if this guy is going to do something like 9/11, he's going to proudly take credit for it. And it's like, why would you believe Bush? He's the one that came out with this bin Laden crap.
Well, bin Laden was known beforehand. I mean, he was an issue inside of Clinton and Bush 1, and he did start to come to prominence because, again, you know, Reagan and where we were involved in fighting, fighting basically the Cold War, and then we fund the Mujahideen inside of Afghanistan, and one of the major guys inside of the Mujahideen's bin Laden, and the CIA trained bin Laden on insurgency tactics. Strangely enough, the same tactics there the Al-Qaeda is reportedly using against us in Iraq. I mean, we talk about going and fighting the terrorists, and, what we have succeeded in doing is at least bringing them to Iraq. They didn't really exist there before. So I'm a little bit more skeptical I'm less skeptical about the connection with bin Laden, because I think bin Laden's been running around the globe, and he's said enough nasty things for me to basically say, I think that his fingerprints were probably on September 11th. I just think that there's enough of his guys, his operatives. I mean, we know that Atta was working with him. We know that it's more difficult to say that Atta had made any connections with anybody in Iraq. You know, there's that phantom visit to Prague that one week is true and the next week is not true. And bottom line is, I mean, they can't prove that he was there and that he met anybody. And even the internal people inside of Czechoslovakia sit there and go, God, you know, there's no way that we can't. And Yugoslavia say there's that we can't describe that he even came through the area and the region, and we don't have any records of him coming through here. So I think that there's a little bit more of a connection. I think bin Laden is part of the terrorist network, but I think it's obvious that he wasn't a friend of Saddam. He funded anti-Saddam groups inside of Iraqi Kurdistan. I mean, he was not a friend of Saddam Hussein. He tried to get weapons and money from him, but hell, I mean, if you didn't like the U.S., you probably would go around to a bunch of people that, yeah, you could deal with a little bit, because that's what we did with him in Afghanistan. We didn't like the Mujahideen, but dealt with him.
Why would Bush go and bomb Afghanistan? He was going to do it anyway. And
yeah.
His words, I heard him say it on TV, they little quip. Well, it looks like I hit the trifecta. Those were his words.
Yeah.
What a terrible thing to say.
Yeah,
that means I don't have to spew a bunch of lies to America.
Yeah.
I can use this to justify both wars.
See, I think the Afghanistan thing was a movement. There are a couple of reasons that it was on the horizon, because one, they knew that that's where bin Laden was, and I think that Bush honestly did, I think the administration did want to seem that they were tougher on terrorism. I think they were going down that road, and I want to say they wanted to do more than just lob a bunch of missiles like Clinton did. They were going to try to go one or two steps further and do something inside of Afghanistan to say they were tougher on terror, and I think it was going to be a political setup that, you know, they were working on showing what they were going to do internationally. So I think that's why they were looking at Afghanistan. It's an easy target. I mean, we knew the Taliban wasn't going to put up much resistance. We lobbed some missiles in there, and then we can probably roll the country pretty easily. So I have a feeling that that's why Afghanistan was on the radar, is that you look tough on terror, and then you can also turn around and start rattling the cage about Iraq and Saddam. And that we know was going to happen. And we knew that Bush was going to go after Saddam.
You don't think it has anything to do with the fact that Bush used $43 million in tax money to assist the Taliban prior, I think it was May of 2001.
Yeah, for drug war, yep.
And then that kind of fell apart. And he's whining and dining the Taliban in Houston before the whatever it was, the election, I guess they called it. All of that kind of, I don't know, that just bothers me. And
it bothers me too. But they gave him the $43 million because they were so good at the war on drugs. But the reason they were so good at the war on drugs is because if you were growing poppies, they'd kill you. Fairly effective. I mean, honestly, if you're going to fight the war on drugs, using it or growing it, and we're going to kill you, that's a good motivator. And honestly, I think that Bush might have been a little jealous. Might have been thinking, man, how can we do that one? How can we figure that one out?
Well,
hey, John, I'm sorry. I meant to hit that a second ago. I've got to get running. We're right up against a break. I apologize that I had to cut you off there. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I've got Anthony and Steve hanging out. We're going to get to your calls in just a second. You can give me a call, 303-382-1150. What are your opinions about Iraq, Saddam, September 11th? Remember that George Bush at the United Nations, September 12th, 2002, said, quote, Iraq continues to shelter and support terrorist organizations that direct violence against Iran, Israel, and Western governments. Iraqi dissidents abroad are targeted for murder, and Al-Qaeda terrorists escape from Afghanistan and are known to be in Iraq. That's what he said. That's what he said. In fact, he went so far on the State of the Union address in 2003 to say, imagine those 19 hijackers with weapons other than planes, and this time armed by Saddam Hussein. It would take one vial, one canister, one crate slipped into this country to bring a day of horror like one we have never known. Seems to me that we're trying to draw the large connection in both of those speeches between Iraq and Al-Qaeda and the terrorists, and they're all coming to get us. But now that we've gone through it and gone through the process, it looked like really none of those things were true. Yeah, sure, Saddam had it out for us, but he didn't have the large piles of weapons. He wasn't selling them to Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda didn't necessarily want to work with him. They did make some overtures, but there weren't these fast and steady ties that we were told couple of years ago that there were. What do you do with that? 303-382-1150. What's your reaction? What's your reaction to the information that's coming out so far? And how do we then justify the war? Because if Bush accepts the conclusion that there is no connection between the two at all, then I think our reason for war pretty much dries up. We have no weapons of mass destruction, no Al-Qaeda terrorists, no nuclear weapons. Where's the threat? Because if you heard me read quotes from Bill O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly talks about us doing the world a favor and deposing a great dictator. That's correct, but that's not the reason we walked in there. We can't go wandering around the world saying, hey, anybody that we deem to be a bad dictator, we are now going to depose you. That was not the premise of what we were doing. We're fighting the war on terror, not the fight of war on bad guys who happen to abuse their own people. That's not what we're charging. We're charging ahead with the war on terrorism. If we can't connect that war on terrorism to Iraq, which it's a very loose connection right now, how do we justify what we're doing right now? What do we do? What's your opinion? 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. And we're back right after this on AM 1150 KNRC.
The stage is set.
Real action is what we need.
Decision 2004.
If you're in a period of transition, you must help people make that transition.
Continuing coverage.
The clock is ticking.
This should be an interesting debate.
From your best choice for the info regarding the election in 2004. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55 as I discuss financial issues of the week with Willis Ashby of Integra Financial, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Jazz Aspen Snowmass, presented by Janus Capital Group, is where it's at from June 24th to June 27th. Quentin Marsalis, Natalie Cole, Al Green, Buddy Guy, Modesty, Martin Wood, and many more, including a free gospel concert with the Mighty Clouds of Joy Sunday at noon.
And I can't stop. I just can't stop.
Three shows on the Cooper Street Mall, JAS After Dark shows, and Aspen night spots including Syzygy, the Jerome Ballroom, Matsuisa, Club Chelsea, the Blue Door, and the Mill Street Club at the St. Regis.
It's crazy, but I'm in love.
Tickets available now at the Wheeler Box Office, 920-5770, or from the JAS Box Office at 866-JAS-TIXX, or online at www.jazzaspen.org.
Well, I'm a crawling cane snake. In our room, my day.
Don't miss the big event in downtown Aspen, June 24th through the 27th. It's where it's at. For lodging and ticket packages, call 1-800-SNOWMASS.
Bob. Oh, Bob.
Huh? What? Who are...
It's time we talk about our relationship, Bob.
Huh? Our relationship? Now?
It's over, Bob.
Over? But you're my computer.
That's why it's over. We just don't have the right connection. It's been fun, but you know, our relationship has been feeling, well, limited. Wouldn't you rather get out of the house and meet other singles?
Well, yeah, but how?
The answer is one phone call away. Cottonwood Connection. They help singles connect. Real people, fun-filled events. Frankly, Bob, you could use a little sunshine.
But you know me, I'm shy.
At Cottonwood Connection, they encourage courage. Your full year membership includes events and a video profile on their website, so we'll still get to see each other.
Well,
come on, Bob. Isn't it time to get out of the house and really connect? Call Cottonwood Connection, 303-424-2300. Check out their website at www.cottonwoodconnection.com. It's all about the right connection, Bob.
Cottonwood Connection, helping singles connect. Call 303-424-2300 or sign up online at cottonwoodconnection.com.
Tune in to AM 1150 KNRC on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. for the Kiefel Cycling Hour, featuring seven-time Tour de France competitor and Olympic bronze medalist Ron Kiefel. Ron and Megan will talk about cycling news, equipment, and great local rides. It doesn't matter if you're training for the Tour de France like Ron Kiefel, or in Megan's case, just taking those training wheels off for the first time. The Kiefel Cycling Hour has something for everyone, every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Steve North, CNBC Business Radio. Investors were digesting mixed economic data today and worrying about possible interest rate hikes. The Dow lost 2 points, closing at 10,378. The Nasdaq dropped 15 to 1984. Producer prices rose at the fastest pace in a year in May, raising the specter of inflation and the chance that the Federal Reserve could hike interest rates 0.5% when it meets at the end of the month. The Senate Banking Committee, meanwhile, has approved the nomination of Alan Greenspan for a fifth term as Fed chairman. A vote in the full Senate comes as early as tomorrow. Also on Capitol Hill today, the House passed a $155 billion bill that cuts taxes for American producers. It also pays tobacco farmers to give up a longtime federal program that shores up crop prices. And in earnings news, the Smucker Company's in a jam. Profit for its latest quarter declined from a year ago, but the maker of jams and Crisco oil slid by beating analyst expectations. Steve North, CNBC Business Radio.
Every dad's motto is, I'll wait in the car. Grocery stores, malls, your wedding. For some reason, they love waiting in the car. So get them Sirius Satellite Radio this Father's Day. It's got 110 channels, including commercial-free music, news, talk, sports, and the entire NFL.
Get Sirius Satellite Radio for just $9.99 a month. Offer based on prepaid one-year subscription and available for a limited time at participating retailers. Hardware sold separately. Terms, conditions, and activation fee apply. Visit Best Buy, CircuitCity, Crutchfield.com, or Sirius.com for details.
With Sirius, now dad'll have some company in the car.
Whoa. Oh.
And here's the kitchen with all new appliances and radiant heat floors.
Oh, honey, I've always wanted a home like this.
I can't believe it's in our price range.
Price range? I thought that was just a starting point.
Now working with the Century 21 agents. Century 21 agents pledge to help you locate the right property at the right price. Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 service pledge to help reduce the stress of buying real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Our talk hosts go beyond the headlines, armed with the facts.
Do not change the channel.
Find out the top issues plus how they got that way from Jimmy, Enid, and Doug. Weekdays, hear Colorado Talk on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:26 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Appreciate you coming along this afternoon to ride with me for the 2 hours I'm filling in for Enid Goldstein. She will return tomorrow. My name's Bill Thorpe. She's going to the Aspen Food and Wine Festival, and she's climbing that mountain right now as we speak. So she had to jump out of here a little bit early. I appreciate all of you sticking around with me. We're talking about September.
Mother's Day Prayer by Eric Horner. A lot of people have been asking about that song, Jerry. It's a popular one. And then, of course, make a nice copy of that and give it to that
We interrupt this program to activate the emergency alert system at the request of the National Weather Service. The National Weather Service in Denver has issued a flash flood warning for the Hamonburn area of southwestern Douglas County, that is in northeast Colorado, until 3:45. The National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated very heavy rain 6 miles southwest of West Creek or about 29 miles northwest of Colorado Springs. That storm is producing the heavy rain. It was moving northeast at 15 miles per hour. Again, locations in that flash flood warning area include, but are not limited to, West Creek. This concludes operations under the Colorado Emergency Alert System. All broadcast stations may resume normal operations.
Well, what's on my mind, as you can see there, is that, you know, I sit here and I listen to people all day, and I listen to a lot of talk radio, and people, you know, Bush this, Bush that, Bush this, Bush that. When is somebody going to talk about the terrorist who's promised to kill you? That's what gets me. I understand all the other stuff, and I understand how people are displeased with Bush. You ain't got to like Bush. You can, presidents come and go. The next guy's going to come in, he's going to have the job. And whoever that may be, if we get attacked, and it's Al-Qaeda that did it, or some other, Hezbollah, whoever it is that did it, who do we go attack? Who do we go after to get retribution? If there's a chemical attack or thank God, hopefully not, a nuclear attack on this country, who are we going to go fight? We're going to say, well, a lot of Saudis did it, so let's go fight the Saudis. Oh, well, no, a lot of Sudanese did it, so let's go fight Sudan. Who are we going to go after when that time comes? The thing is, Bill, that people have to understand, this is a war on terror. These people have no other objective but to kill you, kill Americans. They don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican. You're an American, and that's enough. And we need to come together and understand that and put all this BS aside and stop trying to point the finger at this. Deal with what the situation is. We are at war if we want to be or not.
Okay, now let's talk about this as far as the war on terror. And that's one of the things that I have an issue with as far as where the country is going. One, is this a war on terror more akin to the idea of Vietnam, World War I, World War II, Korean War, or is this more akin to the idea of the war on drugs, the war on poverty?
I think it's more akin to the war on poverty, the war on drugs.
See, that worries me, because the idea for that is, how do we know when the war is over? And that's the thing, when we declare this war on terrorism, that's part of the thing that gets me, is how do we know when we have won the war on terrorism? That's what I can't figure out.
Okay, so the thing is, I don't think we'll ever win it in the sense that they will bow down and say, we're done. What you have to do, and I know this is a tough situation to pull off, is that we have to kill their membership. See, when people say, well, if we'd got Osama bin Laden, no, that wouldn't have stopped the war on terrorism. If we'd have got, we get Zarqawi today. we get Osama today. It wouldn't matter.
Okay, well,
just like here in our country, if somebody assassinates the president, the vice president is going to take over, right? Somebody
yep.
kills him, then guess what? The secretary, I forgot who the next guy obtained. And
yeah.
so far.
Well, here, look at this, though, Anthony. I understand the chain of command, and so if we get bin Laden, it doesn't necessarily stop the war on terror, which is different because if we, well, hang on a second, if we would have got, if when we get Hitler, it stops World War II. You know, when we do that, it stops the war when you capture the leader. We capture the leader of Al-Qaeda. You're absolutely right. It does not stop the war on terror. Here's the other thing. If we go out tomorrow and kill 150 members of Al-Qaeda, are they going to stop attacking us? If we kill 300 members of Al-Qaeda, if we kill 1,000 members of Al-Qaeda, if we kill 10,000 members of Al-Qaeda, are they going to stop attacking us?
The question is no, but the answer to that is no, but the thing is that how will they be able to do it? Like you said, the fewer members you have in your group, the harder it's going to be for you to do what you need to do. The more people you have, then yes, it's going to be easier for you to attack. Like you did, like the commission said today, they planned on 10, it was 10 crews,
yeah.
so obviously there were 10 planes there. So what happened to those guys? They just melted back into America?
Well, some did.
Well,
some did, because what I'm reading is it looks like some of them did melt back into America. Originally the plan was 10, but bin Laden himself, like a CEO, nixed that and said, no, we're only going to go with a smaller group. So I don't think that there, from my reading of it, there weren't 10 planes worth of, you know, crews in here, because there were, you know, pilots and muscle inside of those hijacking crews. And so there weren't 10 crews that were in here. The chances are, though, there were probably more than four, where they're probably thinking, everybody I'm reading says there may have been five or six is what they were kind of looking at, and that two groups may have not gotten on planes, and those, of course, probably absorbed back into society. And one of the things I keep coming back to, though, is if we're looking at winning the war on terror, and we keep coming back to the answer being a military solution. And I argue that portion of the answer is military, but another portion of the action has to be soft, has to be the idea of being able to manipulate the countries and leaders and what's happening inside of the religion of Islam. I think that's how we have to fight it. Unfortunately, we're fighting this war on one front, and I don't think that we can win it with only guns, bombs, and bullets, because I don't think it's going to be a body count. I don't think that we can sit there and stack up Al-Qaeda bodies like cordwood, and then they're going to turn around and go, man, you've killed enough of us, okay, we give up. I don't think that's going to happen.
You're correct in the sense now that, now like you said, on the soft side, that's where we're going to, but people don't talk about that as much because the war is sensationalizing body counts and all that, and that's what people see now that they put on the news. They don't talk about the bank accounts we've frozen. They don't talk about the fact that by taking Saddam out of the picture, that's one less place that the terrorists have to go to get money. There's one less.
But they weren't getting much. They weren't getting money from Saddam, though. But Anthony, the issue that I have with Saddam, I mean, we're spending a lot of money. All of our efforts are focused in Iraq, but they weren't going to Iraq to get money. They weren't going to Iraq. Well, hang on. They weren't going to Iraq to get people. They weren't going to Iraq to train, and they weren't going to Iraq to get weapons. So the idea that we have struck a blow for the war on terror by removing Saddam, I don't agree with. He wasn't a supplier. So I look at that and think that we've missed the boat. We've spent all this money attacking a country that we shouldn't have, because it's not that important in the war on terror.
Bill, yes, it was, in the sense of, in the fact that Saddam publicly came out and said, I think the number was $25,000. He would give any family, and now this is, I know it's Palestine, to a Pakistani family, not Pakistani, Palestinian,
yeah.
that would go and do a suicide bombing in Israel. He promised $25,000 out of his mouth.
Yeah.
So that right there, that he knows.
Well, hang on a sec, though. But he's promising $25,000 to a Palestinian that's going to go ahead and blow himself up. Part of that reason, though, if you look at when he made it and why, is because he's a secular ruler inside of what is a fundamentalist region. And he, in my belief, and from what I'm reading, that's extortion money. He's paying off Palestinian. He's saying, see, I'm doing some funding for Hamas. I'm doing some good. So the rest of the fundamentalists don't turn around and go, man, look at this. Saddam's got these weapons.
But is he not funding Hamas?
A little bit, but not majority. I mean, that's like saying, that's literally like going to a guy that is basically a low man on the totem pole as far as a drug dealer. You're getting a guy that's buying a little bit of drugs every week, taking him out and going, man, look at that. We've stopped some of this drug trade. No, you haven't. You've hit a small-time guy. And Saddam in the war on terror was a small-time guy. I mean, if you're looking at Saddam giving money to people inside of Hamas, you listened to John earlier. I mean, we gave $43 million to the Taliban. Does that mean that we were funding the Taliban was a horrible regime that was actually involved in terrorism? Does that then mean that because we gave them $43 million, the U.S. was funding terrorism?
In a sense, maybe.
If you look at the balance, Anthony, does that mean that our $43 million is a hell of a lot more than the $25,000 Saddam was paying out? So if you actually have to argue who was funding the terrorism, we're funding more terrorism. We were funding because we're paying $43 million. And that's part when I look at that and think that, well, he's giving the money to the Palestinians and the suicide bombers. It's extortion. And he wasn't doing that, I believe, if I look at the timeline correctly, he started doing that right around the time that Israel decided they were going to mow down the houses of the relatives of the suicide bombers. So I think he was buying goodwill. He was saying, don't turn around and don't attack me, because I'm in there with you. Anthony, I appreciate the phone call. Got a lot of other calls. I want to make sure that we get to them. So what I'm going to do right now is make sure that we hit news on time so we come back on time and then get to all the phone calls. So we've got as much time as we possibly can. I've got Ed and Steve, Mike, and Parkesh. Hang out there. I'll get to you guys all in order, all as soon as we can. But right now, I'm Bill Thorpe, stepping aside for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Yes, and the man that has said that he will actually donate $25,000 to any member of the KNRC newsroom who will go out and make news. But we don't want to say that's encouraging bad behavior. No.
I'll tell you, there are those days, though, where there's just, like, nothing going on.
Exactly.
And it's like, you know, somebody go do something. You know?
Yeah, it's like, come on, you know, just, you know, go get one of the guys, you know, the newsroom that's, you know, he's maybe a part-timer, get him a little drunk, at, you know,
yeah.
at lunchtime, tell him to go out and do something weird. And
go,
you know.
Go get a bulldozer or
exactly,
something.
Exactly, you know, be creative. Explore your opportunities. What's going on in news, Tim?
It's cloudy, rainy, 54 degrees right now. A woman's body was found dumped on the railroad tracks in Englewood last night. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic. Here's Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Very, very wet road conditions all over town now, particularly out south near Castle Rock, Douglas County. Here in town, we're seeing lots of slow traffic as a result of those wet roads, particularly northbound I-25 between County Line Road and I-225, speeds averaging about 20 miles an hour. Similar situation up north, southbound I-25 between 104th Avenue and downtown. It's about 20 miles an hour in there, too. Also had an earlier accident at 92nd Avenue that's contributing to some of that. Eastbound I-70 at Quebec, watch for a stall on the center lane. Also an injury accident northbound Federal at I-76. Quest Choice Long Distance for Business with the information, just 5 cents a minute with a $20 monthly cap and no contracts. Call 1-888-LD-QUEST for more information. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
An alert railroad conductor spotted the body of a woman lying on the railroad tracks in Englewood last night. Investigators say it looks like the woman was murdered somewhere else and her body was dragged onto the tracks. The woman's identity and exact cause of death are still being investigated. This report brought to you by Power Bar Harvest. An interim associate vice president of Metro State in Denver has resigned after it was discovered that she didn't have the degree she claimed. Joanna Duenas needed a master's degree and didn't even have a bachelor's. She had been with the school since March and was being paid $72,000 a year. The Denver Boulder Better Business Association is teaming up with the Federal Trade Commission and Visa to warn people to be alert to phishing scams. That's phishing with a PH. Phishing is an email scam which tries to convince consumers to release personal information like credit account numbers, checking account information, social security numbers, and banking account passwords. The scammers use official-looking websites or emails. Fight the afternoon lull with Tasty Harvest Bar. Real fruit and healthy energy from whole grains and protein in 10 tempting flavors. Harvest Bar from Power Bar, available at Albertsons. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
Your summer passport for news and information. Identification, please.
Where talk happens. AM 1150 KNRC.
Enjoy your summer.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett for McDonald Automotive Group. You know, if there's anything people want these days, it's choice. And if you're looking for the best selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, you owe yourself a visit to McDonald Automotive Group on Broadway. Here you can find rows upon rows of Volvos, Audis, Volkswagens. In short, the region's largest selection of vehicles from some of the highest-rated pre-owned programs in the country. And that's not just their opinion, or my opinion. That is the independent opinion of IntelliChoice, which evaluates manufactured, sponsored, certified used vehicle programs on things like warranty coverage, special financing, and even roadside assistance. So there you have it, the largest selection of pre-owned Volvos, Audis, and Volkswagens. Why would you go anywhere else, especially if you're in the market for that certified pre-owned vehicle? Stop by McDonald Automotive Group today on Broadway, just south of Orchard. That's 6000 South Broadway. The phone number 303-795-1100. 303-795-1100.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast, mostly cloudy, showers and scattered thunderstorms with us through the rest of the afternoon. The National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning for the Hayman Burn area in northwestern Teller and southwestern Douglas counties. Mostly cloudy skies for us tonight. Thunderstorms likely through the evening. A slight chance of some showers after midnight as well. Around 50 for the overnight temperature. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Chance of some thunderstorms in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high near 70. Right now, cloudy, rainy, and 53. KNRC News Time is 2:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
Ignorant.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no-obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
I'm Eric Stone with the latest from the 104th U.S. Open. This update brought to you by the Ridge at Castle Pines North, your country club for a day. After breaking through at the Masters, Phil Mickelson tries to make it two straight majors at the U.S. Open. Right now he's at 1-under par through 12 holes, three strokes behind leaders Jay Haas, Shigeki Murayama, and Angel Cabrera at Shinnecock Hills on Long Island. Tiger Woods and Sergio Garcia both shot 72. They're six strokes off the pace. And David Duval, playing in his first U.S. tournament this year, ended up with a 13-over par 83. Call the Ridge at Castle Pines North and set up a tee time at 303-688-4301, and you'll get 20% off if you tell them you heard this on KNRC. I'm Eric Stone with your U.S. Open Golf Update.
This is Mike Reagan. I'm glad to be part of the great talk show lineup and the Hear Both Sides concept. See you at 6 p.m. weeknights on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:42 here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid will be live at the Aspen Food and Wine Festival tomorrow from noon until 3. That's why she's not here today. She was here for the first hour. If you're tuning in now, I'm sorry you missed her. But don't worry, noon to 3 tomorrow, she will be back here. We're talking about Iraq, Al-Qaeda, war on terror, just kind of a large hodgepodge of things. And I'm also letting you know, I don't know if you've seen the poll that has been released by the Coalition Provisional Authority. They went around, did face-to-face interviews in six different cities with people inside of Iraq, representing all different various factions and religious beliefs, and talked about their opinions of the U.S. and what's going on. Strange thing is that 63% say that Iraq's security will improve after America turns over control on June 30th. The confidence right now in our troops, languishing at 10%. That's not good. That's not positive. How do we get so far off? Well, let's talk a little bit about that. 303-382-1150. Let's jump back to the phones. Talk to Ed in Denver. Ed, thanks a lot for calling KNRC. How are you today? Hello, Ed. How are you? Really? You don't say. Yeah? Rogue, really? Yeah, I think so, too. Is he even there? I don't know. Let's see. We'll see. Maybe we can check to see if Ed's still there. I think he probably just put the phone on hold and then walked away. Let's go to Parakesh. He called from Denver. Is it Parakesh? 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 Prakash?
Yeah, that's the...
Okay, because I'm infamous for butchering other people's names. Well, tell me what's on your mind about, you know, Iraq connections, terrorism. What do you feel?
I think there are other countries who have a more stronger ties with Al-Qaeda than Iraq. Probably Iraq was last in the list. I mean, if you talk about connections, Zarqawi is a Jordanian. We are not going around calling Jordan a terrorist state. Khalid Mohammed was a Pakistani. Pakistani ISI is still involved with Taliban. Then you have Saudi Arabia, Morocco. So there are a lot of other countries that have got deeper ties with Al-Qaeda than Iraq. And what has happened is because we've gone into Iraq, we're literally outsourcing the hunt for Osama bin Laden to Pakistan. And I don't think so. Pakistani army has any love lost for the Americans. And they're not going to help you find Osama bin Laden. He's the trump card that Pakistani dictator Musharraf is going to pull up and keep on teasing Americans, be it any president. So the strongest military in the world is now, you know, at the, you know, it cannot...
Well, they become a pawn of Musharraf in Pakistan because, and I think you're right, and that's very intelligent, because the idea that Musharraf, as long as he teases and says, hey, bin Laden's out there, we're going to get bin Laden. Bin Laden's sitting out there, and he's probably somewhere in Pakistan, or we can help you find him in Afghanistan. You've got to keep him in power. He knows that, I mean, basically, he knows that we figured out that he was dirty, that he was selling weapons, that he was selling information, that he was helping the terrorists. I mean, he gave money in support of the Taliban up until September 11th. So he was as deep as anybody else was inside of the terrorism network, and he was a big partner with North Korea, basically being the fence to get international technology, basically passed around the world as far as nuclear weapons and missile technology. And I think you're absolutely right that basically as long as he holds that trump card saying, hey, without me, you're really not going to be able to find bin Laden, that then we have to leave him alone and we have to deal with him.
And the point is that we are not confronting the real terrorist states. I mean,
yeah.
Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, they are the three biggest, you know, those are the countries from where you get all the terrorists. The whole point is that now we are held hostage by a dictator who can, and in fact, both parties are responsible. Nobody is I have not heard a single Democrat talk about this issue, that we are not confronting the people who created Taliban, people who funded Taliban, people who helped Taliban, people who are still helping Taliban and Al-Qaeda. We've not confronted those people. Sheikh Omar, who killed Daniel Pearl, was a guy who was a terrorist who was caught by Indian authorities. He was released after Al-Qaeda or one of those groups hijacked and plane to Afghanistan. And he was a guy who wired $100,000 to Muhammad Atta. Nobody talks about that connection. People talk about a meeting which was never held between Iraqi intelligence and Muhammad Atta. So this is a whole hoax, and America is going to suffer because we are not tackling the real terrorists here.
Now, what do you think happens to us internationally? Because I think that's one of the things I keep looking at is I'm all for the idea of the war on terrorism, but the problem I have is that we're not going after, like you said, we're not going after the terrorist nations. And so I look at this thinking that not only do we end up, you know, eroding a lot of our good feelings around the world, but we also end up looking a little stupid because the other countries and even the people inside of the U.S. are going, guys, these are the terrorist people. These are the people that are important. These are the people that are the evil in the world. And we're not going after them. We're going after, you know, basically a tin pot dictator who was horrible to his own people, but it's costing us $5 billion a year. It's not a good investment. If we look at this on capitalism side, this is not a good investment for $5 billion a month is what we're looking at, to sit over there and to basically attack a terrorist nation that wasn't that important to begin with.
And not only we are spending money in Iraq, we're also giving billions of dollars to countries like Pakistan, who basically put a dog and pony show. You had the Dr. Abdul Qadir, who was running a market where anyone could go and buy nuclear weapons, and what happened, he was caught, he was pardoned the same day by General Musharraf. Nobody seems to realize that in this country. I find it totally amazing. I mean, everyone, in fact, Musharraf is so brilliant. Aaron Brown was there interviewing Musharraf, and he had planned everything, and suddenly you had these 2 days of news where high-value target was supposed to be having located on Afghanistan, Pakistan, but nothing happened. It won't, because this is a trump card. Even if Kerry comes to power, he's going to use the same thing. Nobody is going to confront Pakistan. That's the biggest tragedy in this war on terrorism.
Yeah, it really is, because unfortunately they're dirty, and they're as dirty as North Korea is, and they're as dirtier than Saudi Arabia is, and they were also, the thing that kills me is that they were right next to Afghanistan. We didn't have to pick up our troops and everybody and move them all the way over into the lower portions of the Middle East. We could have just gone next door. We could have gone next door and helped out on the war on terror, and probably should have taken out, you know, I think we missed the wrong dictator as far as if we're looking at the war on terror, because Musharraf came to power through a coup, was fairly bloody, is, you know, somewhat of a dictator inside of the country, and, you know, fairly iron-fisted at times as well. So, I mean, he doesn't necessarily have the torture chambers, but he is funding the terrorists on another level that Saddam never did. So, in one way, he may not be as bad to his own people, but in another way, he's, you know, basically two or three times the threat that he is to us. But now he's our friend, and now we play nice with him.
And the point is that because now all these money troops are tied up with Iraq, tomorrow if, say, Musharraf goes, there is no way that America would be able to secure the nuclear arsenal. What do we do next? We don't have anything left insofar as contingency is concerned to tackle real weapons of mass destruction. So I don't know. The scenario is pretty horrible.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of getting depressed about it as well. Thanks a lot for the phone call. I appreciate it. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. We've got another break coming up. I want to know if you'd seen the Coalition Provisional Authority poll that was taken. They went through six different cities, face-to-face interviews inside of Iraq. And strangely enough, now... It used to be that very few individuals inside of Iraq felt that we acted like bullies, that we were capable of things that happened like Abu Ghraib, that we were coming in and that we weren't going to be torturing and abusing people. But now the impression the Iraqis have is, well, 54% of them feel that all Americans act like the guards in the photo. At least it's not an overwhelming majority in the country, but still more than 50% of the country now thinks that all Americans are going to act like the guards in the photos. And again, you can't really combat what is public opinion. There's no way that you can, you know, combat public opinion other than behavior. And that's one of the tragedies that I think we've had so far with some of the things that have gone wrong inside of Iraq. There's some things that have gone right, but there's a lot that has fallen apart based on our plans walking in there and what we were expecting. Heck, 92% of the country right now, according to our very own surveys, and these are, of course, you know, the Bush and Cheney guys that are in the country doing the surveys, but 92% of the Iraqis come back saying that we're occupiers. Only 2% say that we're liberators. How did it go so wrong? Where did we turn the corner and all of a sudden become the occupiers inside of the country? 303-382-1150. I'm back right after this on AM 1150 KNRC.
What would you do if you were caught in a severe storm, the stock market fell, you saw a bad accident, traffic was at a standstill, war broke out, Osama bin Laden captured? What should you do? June 1st for breaking news and to talk about it. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC.
Now, use your Verizon Wireless to download Alejandro Sanz pictures and ringtones from his latest album, No Es Lo Mismo. To get Verizon Wireless service, call 1-800-256-4646.
Trust and experience are two very important factors when considering medical treatments to enhance your natural beauty. I'm Dr. Robert Tuckler of the Plastic Surgery Clinic and Denver Skin Aesthetics. I would like to extend my personal invitation to visit our clinic. We offer our patients the finest care when it comes to the delicate art of plastic surgery and the latest advancements in cosmetic facial injectables, including Botox, Restylane, and Radiance. We have just purchased the most advanced laser system available, the Cutera Zio. This laser offers many options, including removal of facial and leg veins, age spots, and a skin rejuvenation process which stimulates new collagen growth and diminishes the appearance of fine lines. Hair removal is also available. Our nurses and aestheticians will evaluate your skin while listening to your needs. All treatments are performed under a doctor's supervision, a service we feel is mandatory. We have some of the top doctors in the area and have been honored by 5280, Town & Country, and Vogue. Call us at 303-830-7200 and request a complimentary facial assessment.
Listeners receive 10% off their first filler and 20% off their first Botox treatment. Call 303-830-7200. Summertime means the Hudson Gardens and Event Center Gigs in the Gardens Concert Series. And this year's lineup is not to be missed. Join AM 1150 KNRC in the beautiful surroundings of the Hudson Gardens. An easy drive from anywhere in the Denver area. 3 miles north of C-470 at 6115 South Santa Fe Drive in Littleton. This Sunday, hear one of Colorado's leading jazz bands, Dutzero. And don't miss next Sunday, June 27th, an evening with Lanny Garrett. Tickets are $7.50 for adults and $2 for children and are available by telephone at 303-797-8565 extension 321 or online at hudsongardens.org. Plan to bring the whole family and get there early to grab a prime spot. Gates open at 5:30 and the music starts at 6:30 this Sunday at the Hudson Gardens and Event Center. The Gigs in the Gardens Concert Series every Sunday all summer long, brought to you by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Jonathan Anton, owner of Jonathan's Salon, which can be seen on Bravo's reality show, Blowout. Take it from me, stress can make you lose your hair. I don't know this because I'm a stylist. I know it because I'm a small business owner. Fortunately, I also know which products promote healthy growth in both hair and business.
With Open, the Small Business Network, Jonathan Anton has the tools to make big things happen. You can too, when you have an American Express business card. To apply, call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
join the National Multiple Sclerosis Society for the 19th annual Great West MS 150 Bike Tour and get ready to rock the rampart. The two-day 150-mile adventure begins on Saturday, July 10th at Conifer and traverses the rampart range through Buffalo Creek, Deckers, and Woodland Park. Last year, more than 1,900 participants raised $1.7 million to end the devastating effects of MS. To learn more or join this year's MS 150 Bike Tour, visit www.fightmscolorado.org.
Your back hurts. It's the moment of choice. What should you take? Truth is, doctors nationwide recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain. Advance to Advil Relief.
Stay with KNRC right after Style Matters from noon to 2 this Saturday for a brand new show called Food Talk with Jim Conder. Jim will host a two-hour romp in the field of great food and drink. Interesting guests, delectables, food news, specialty foods, interesting food, food history, recipes, cuisines, cooking tips, and of course, restaurants. Food Talk with Jim Conder, KNRC's new food and restaurant forum. Saturdays noon to 2 on AM 1150 KNRC. You'll hear more minutes of talk content here per hour than any other Denver radio station. AM 1150 KNRC. More talk, less clutter.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:56 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein, and wanted to let you know Doug Kellett will not be here this afternoon. He's got some stuff to take care of, and we've got one of our weekenders coming in, and a guy that I've actually known for a number of years, and it is really fun to be able to bring this guy on the air with me to go back and forth, because Lord knows the number of times that we've had discussions like this off the air when we've been doing other things involved in radio. It's my pleasure to bring Darren Copeland on KNRC. You can hear him every Saturday, 3 until 6, Saturday and Sunday. He does some stuff with us here, and so we're happy that he's going to be filling in for Doug today. And if only the conversation off the air could continue onto the air. We were going back and forth about Saddam, Al-Qaeda, and connections.
Well, it's just, you know, I mean, I had to set you straight. Obviously, you know. You have stuff wrong. You're misrepresenting statistics.
Exactly. Well, there are, and I see, I'm not misrepresenting the statistics. Some of the stuff that you're saying, that, yeah, you're absolutely right, and he came in and Darren accurately pointed out that the Coalition Provisional Authority, the surveys there do say that, yes, a majority of the Iraqis do want us there.
No, I said a vast majority.
Oh, yeah, they do. They want us there. They also, almost all of them, view us as occupiers. That's not good.
Well, I don't care.
That's
what you, I don't care what you, but you know what? I don't care what they call us.
Yeah.
They're calling us. They want us there. I know that they don't like us.
Well,
it's
they,
the same
they
way,
don't really want us there, though. They, I mean, 63% of them want us out after, what is it? No, it's, yeah, 55% want us out after we turn over power in the 30th.
Yeah, 100% of current presidents want us out, too, but no one talks about that.
Not want us out. Not want us out. George here, doesn't want us out. Current here, presidents don't want us out of Iraq.
But it's like this. It's
but
like
wait,
this.
We're not going out of Iraq, though. George just wants us not to be in control of the government.
He wants to make sure that they're stabilizing.
But, yeah, but that's not out. I mean, he's not out. I mean, we're building 14 bases there. That's not out of the country. The Iraqis want us out. Well, they want out. They don't want the bases. They want out.
Well,
that's
yeah.
different.
Well, no, it's like in L.A.
Yeah.
When they had the riots.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you looked at the majority of people in L.A. didn't want the National Guard in there making sure that everything was okay, but they appreciated the fact that they were there.
I don't know if the majority of them wouldn't want the National Guard there, especially if they're burning stuff. I'd say, well, hey, National Guard, the guy with the guns. Can I please have the guys with the guns and the bulletproof
well,
vest to come in here
that,
and protect
you know,
me?
I think that's what the...
That's
what
I'd ask
there's
for.
A there's a natural ability... There's a natural... idea that people want
yeah.
to live their own lives and they don't like other people coming in.
Yep.
But what you're seeing is that the majority of Iraqis, though they don't like the fact that there are other people in there, they like the idea of the fact that they're going to get their country back. They understand
yep.
that the Americans are going to be leaving. It's not a conquering power, and they understand that though they may not necessarily like the fact that the Americans are in there, they know it's a necessary thing that they have to deal with.
Well, they also 10% of them only have confidence in our troops right now, and that's one of the problems that I've had with how the war came about. Is part of it is we robbed the Iraqis from gaining their own freedom. Is now they have to liberate themselves from us. If they would have liberated themselves from Saddam, then Iraq's a free country. We can come in and help them set up a democracy. But because we freed Saddam, now in order for the Iraqis to really feel like they've liberated themselves, a lot of them are turning around. They've got to liberate themselves from us in whatever means that takes.
It's funny that you say that when you have hundreds of Iraqis who were in line to go volunteer for the military and for the security patrols that were going on, that the Al-Qaeda, that outside influences. In fact, they find out that one of the suicide bombers today that an attack that killed some 41, I believe it was, people, killed the Iraqis who were volunteering to help out the government. So it's obviously not
But the first time the police got into a major firefight, they turned around and ran, and the majority of them have disappeared with the weapons and the arms that we've given them. So the idea that they're signing up to be security forces, there aren't a lot of them there that are doing it for security forces. But we could go on like this for hours, but we've only got like 20 seconds left. Darren Copeland, a good friend of mine. We don't see eye ideologically, but we always like try to hang out. He's always a good guy. He's going to be in for Doug Kellett next. I appreciate Enid Goldstein for giving me the shot here. I'm Bill Thorpe. This is KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Ron Kilgore. The mayor of Birmingham, Alabama, says three police officers have been shot to death. The suspect said to be still at large. The 9/11 Commission has finished its public hearings among its findings that there was no connection between al-Qaeda and Iraqi President Saddam Hussein. Today, President Bush said Iraq might not have been involved with the actual attack, but maintains there was indeed a connection.
Oh, the reason I keep insisting that there was a relationship between Iraq and Saddam and al-Qaeda, because there was a relationship between Iraq and al-Qaeda.
The 9/11 panel also determined the federal government was ill-prepared to coordinate defenses against the hijacked airliners. The full report is due out next month. Car bombers went after civilians trying to join Iraq's security services today. 41 people were killed. There's a move in Congress to crack down on deceptive spyware. It hides in your computer and secretly monitors activities. Legislation also allowed huge fines for stealing identities. I'm Ron Kilgore, NBC News Radio.
Centuries ago, from the darkest ages, came a legend of a great king, Arthur, and his loyal circle of knights. But did the greatest king who ever lived, ever live? Journey over the Highlands and enter the deepest region of England to discover the life behind the legend. Quest for King Arthur has only been...